all of my life I felt that you were listening, watching for ways to help me stay in tune. A lot of my dreams, although confusion keeps trying to
welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, May 3rd, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. So please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is John chapter 7, picking up where we left off.
Chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him, for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said, That Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house.
Okay, I guess to get the lecture started, Q&A is open. If anybody has a question or a comment, you can hit a star 6 to get into the queue, a star 6 and a 1. All right, tonight I want to take a look at a paper. You know, I had written an email, I think it was last week, and sent it out, and I did post this email concerning America is dying, and unless we the people do something, America is going to die. So it requires really we the people to save our republic. So I'd like to read through this. It is posted up on our website, as I mentioned. It is under People's Duty, and if you come down to Political Issues, you'll find it on that link called America is Dying. Also, I have it up here on the browser. Anybody on their browser could take a look at this. After we go through this, we'll move forward for Q&A. First, we'll pick up, of course, on Brent, if Brent is here. Okay, I'm going to just read through it. I may skip around a little bit. I don't know, probably not, but maybe a little bit. We are up against the empire of lies. Under today's state of affairs, we can turn to the Declaration of Independence for the solution, and it counsels us that to secure our unalienable rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it, to revive it, to revive our natural law government, laying its foundation on this document, the Declaration of Independence. Organizing elected officials' powers that are ordained in the United States Constitution and its capstone Bill of Prohibitions. Therefore, when our elected representatives assault our liberties with a long train of abuses and usurpations designed to reduce we the people under absolute despotism, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such government and to provide new gods for our future security. The Foreign-Controlled American Bar Association, ABA, in collusion with our traitorous Congress via the creation of political parties, has destroyed our political process. They have destroyed the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities. They have opened the door to foreign influence and corruption. Thus, the policies of the United States are subject to the will of communist and Marxist countries. They have divided the people one against another. They have ruined our public liberty. They choke control and repress our economy. They foment occasional riots and insurrections. They kindle animosity of one part against another. They put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of the party elite. They agitate the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms. They undermined our Constitution, which only could be which could not be directly overthrown. They distract the public counsel and enfeeble the public administration. They drive the spirit of revenge. They have led us to despotism. John Adams said, "There is nothing which I dread so much as the division of the republic into two great parties." Thomas Jefferson said, "If I could not go to heaven but with a political party, I would decline to go." Thomas Paine said, "Parties are blind to truth and hardened against conviction. They seek to justify error by perseverance and denies to its own mind the operation of its own judgment. A man under the tyranny of a party spirit is the greatest slave upon the earth, for none but himself can deprive him of the freedom of thought." James Madison said, "The public good is disregarded in the conflicts of rival parties. Liberty is to faction what air is to fire, an ailment without which it instantly expires. We behold the Republican remedy for the disease incident to Republican government. Political parties within a natural law republic are contradictive and thereby destructive, because there is nothing to debate. We already defined their jurisdiction and powers via our founding documents." In 1819, our founding fathers passed the original 13th Amendment that prevented British bar attorneys, also known as esquires, a title of honor, from holding any office of trust because they brought Roman civil law into our courts and fractionalism into our political discord, with the intent of destroying our republic. Amendment 13, "If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor," and by the way, the title esquire is a title of honor, "from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be citizen of the United States, and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them." In response to the United States passing the 13th Amendment, the British monarch, who was already destabilizing our republic in 1822 via the Treaty of Vienna, made a secret alliance with the Pope, breached their trust as international trustees, agreeing to undermine our American system of government. They set out on a covert action and issued letters of marque and reprisal to the members of the British Bar Association, allowing them to act as foreign agents on American soil and as privateers free to plunder America's commerce, political, and judicial processes. After 232 years of plummeting, our republic is about to crumble. We need to wake up. In 1871, the 41st Congress, under the control of the foreign-controlled British Bar, passed the Organic Act without constitutional authority, an act of fraud, conspiracy, and subversion against the people of the United States of America, to depose our covenant with our Creator, also known as the Declaration of Independence, and thereby establish a totalitarian government under foreign control, unaccountable to we, the sovereign people, upon which the conspiratorial erosion of our Constitution began. This, over time, covertly transformed our unalienable rights to civil rights, our republic to the democracy and then an oligarchy, the United States to a corporation, and the laws of nature's God to civil and criminal laws, which have their roots in Babylon. This place, the United States, under fiction of law, also known as civil law, and as long as the people believe the fiction to be law, it is. Under 28 U.S.C. subsection 3002, they give a definition on line 15. United States means a federal corporation. In 1876, the British Bar, in collusion with our treasonous Congress, conspired to supplant the law in exchange for money and power, and was successful in concealing the 13th Amendment that was ratified in 1819 and replaced it with another. In 1878, 75 Esquire lawyers, traders from 21 states and the District of Columbia met in Saratoga Springs, New York, in an act of high treason established the American Bar Association, known as the ABA. Since that first meeting, the ABA worked in the shadows, infiltrating our government, our courts, our churches, our schools, our institutions, and our media. This was done in an effort to expunge our common law and replace it with civil law, also known as Babylonian law, Justinian law, or Roman law. The legal profession, as we know it today, barely existed at that time. Today, the ABA is one of the world's largest professional organizations, with nearly 400,000 members and more than 3,500 entities. Today, the ABA holds a monopoly over the minds of the federal and state judiciaries and attorneys that practice law in our courts. Law schools are nationally accredited by the American Bar Association, and graduates of these schools may generally sit for a bar exam in any state. There are 204 ABA-accredited law schools, and there are 31 law schools that have not been approved by the American Bar Association. Some states, very few of them, permit graduates of these schools to take the bar exam or will admit to their bar a graduate from a non-ABA-approved law school who has been admitted to the bar of another state, but most states do not. Today, with almost 500,000 bar members, 80,000 of them work in Washington, D.C. They have perverted the rule of law, deprived we, the sovereign people, of due process, and have supplanted our Article III courts with jurisdictions unknown. The ABA schools, in an act of treason, teach that in law, also known as common law, is the body of law derived from judicial decisions of courts and similar tribunals, claiming that the defining characteristics of common law is that it arises as precedents, whereas common law is not precedents or legislated law, where one size fits all. It is not civil law. Common law, also known as natural law, is governed by maxims written in the hearts of men. We read in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." In November 1910, in an act of high treason, six men, Nelson Aldrich, Abraham Andrew, Henry Davidson, Arthur Shelton, Frank Vanderlip, and Paul Warburg, met at Jekyll Island Club off the coast of Georgia to write a plan to reform the nation's banking system. The meeting and its purpose were closely guarded secrets, and participants did not admit that the meeting occurred until the 1930s. The plan written in Jekyll Island laid the foundation for what eventually became the Federal Reserve System. In 1913, the American Bar Association controlled Congress passed the unconstitutional Federal Reserve Banking Act that gave control of the American economy to a private corporation owned by foreign bankers who answered to no one, regulate the value of worthless notes of debt called the dollar. They robbed we, the people, of our gold and bankrupt America, a conspiracy among Paul Warburg, Edward Mandel House, Woodrow Wilson, J.P. Morgan, Benjamin Strong, Otto Kahn, the Rockefeller family, the Rothschild family, and other European and American bankers, resulted in the founding of the U.S. Federal Reserve System, which resulted in a takeover of the U.S. economy on behalf of the oligarchs. The Federal Reserve Act in 1913 defiles Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 5 of the United States Constitution by creating a central bank of issue for the United States. World War I, the Agricultural Depression of 1920, the Great Depression of 1929, was all brought about by the international banking interests in order to profit from conflict and economic instability. In March 1922, in an act of high treason, the New York County Association of the Criminal Bar announced that it planned a vigorous statewide campaign to abolish the grand jury institution. Former District Attorney Robert Elder called upon public prosecutors to take the initiative in replacing the inefficiency, ignorance, and traditional bias of grand juries. The judge, Thomas Crane of New York, supported the movement. Testifying before the Committee of Law Enforcement of the American Bar Association, he observed that a judge or some other man learned in statutes, not law, statutes, should participate in a grand jury hearing. In other words, a star chamber. In Minnesota, attorney Paul J. Thompson urged his state to adopt the Wisconsin system of prosecuting upon the order of a district attorney. In 1922, Judge Roscoe Pound and Felix Frankfurter conducted a survey of criminal justice in Cleveland, added the weight of expert testimony to those who sought to eliminate the use of grand juries. Pound and Frankfurter reported that juries were inefficient and unnecessary since trial courts were quite capable of protecting Americans against executive tyranny. How's that working for us today? Today, civil law juries controlled by judges and prosecutors have turned our courts of justice into dens of thieves. Today, we are not only have executive tyranny, we have judicial and legislative tyranny. Only by the return to a natural law republic can liberty be revived. In 1933, the War's Powers Act, also referred as the War's Power Resolution, the War Power Resolution of 1973, is a federal law that governed the president's power to bring the U.S. into an armed conflict without first obtaining authorization from Congress, as required under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. Thereby, the United States federal government was dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, and President Franklin Roosevelt, under Executive Order 6102, unlawfully confiscated gold, bullion, and gold certificates within the continental United States. In 1934, the ABA-controlled Congress passed the Rules Enabling Act that provided for the exploitation of the law of the land, replacing it with civil law, giving the Supreme Court the unlawful power to abrogate the rules of common law. In 1938, the U.S. Supreme Court, steered by the subversive ABA, authored the Federal Reserve of Civil Procedure, whereas under Rule 2, they committed an act of treason when they stated, "The Supreme Court enacted uniform rules of procedure for the federal courts. Under the new rules, suits in equity and suits in common law were grouped together under the term civil action," claiming that rigid application of common law rules brought about injustice. In 1934, Congressman McFadden exposed the Federal Reserve Corporation, bringing formal charges against the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Banking System. The Comptroller of the Currency and the Secretary of the United States Treasury for numerous criminal acts, including but not limited to conspiracy, fraud, unlawful conversion, and treason. He stated, "Mr. Chairman, we have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve Banks, hereinafter called the Fed. The United States has been ransacked and pillaged. Our structures have been gutted, and only the walls are left standing." His petition for articles of impeachment was thereafter referred to the Judiciary Committee and has yet to be acted on. Congressman McFadden was assassinated in 1936. In 1944, the United States surrendered to the central banking system. The prevailing economic system of the world is based on the Bretton Woods Agreement, which was established after the Second World War. While all countries thought that it would boost the economies of the world and the people would have more money in their hands, little did they know that it was just a plan to destroy the currencies of the world to make the dollar the currency anchor of the world. In 1947, the CIA and NSA were established, creating a national police state surveillance grid. In 1948, the United Nations, an intergovernmental organization that promotes international cooperation in order to create and maintain international order, was established. The UN was established in an effort to institute a one-world government. The UN also supports population control by supporting government programs that promote forced abortions, coercive sterilizations, and today they are promoting an experimental vaccine that will alter our RNA and potentially destroy our immune system. In 1950, a congressional report on the National Lawyers Guild revealed a bar communist plot to destroy our republic. In 1954, the ABA-controlled Congress passed the incomprehensible Internal Revenue Code. In 1954, the Reese Committee filed the Dodd Report in Congress that revealed an un-American activities in government. It was found that the big foundations were promoting internationalism and collectivism. By their subversive funding activities, they posed a clear threat to our American Republic and way of life of the American people. The foundations were monumental in shaping and educating and foreign policy of the United States. And, in addition, the foundations had their presence in all areas of society, and in some areas had become more powerful than the federal government. Research and experimental stations were established at selected universities, notably Columbia, Stanford, and Chicago. Some of the worst mischiefs in recent education was born here. Many of the principal characters in the story of the suborning of American education worked in these Rockefeller and Carnegie established vineyards. Here, foundations nurtured some of the most ardent academic advocates of the unsettling the American system and supplanting it with a socialist state. In 1963, just weeks before President Kennedy was assassinated, he said, "A revolution is coming, a revolution that will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we are fortunate enough. But a revolution is coming, whether we will it or not. We can affect its character. We cannot alter its inevitability." In 1971, the Southern Poverty Law Center, in acts of high treason and lies, the SPLC intelligence report proclaiming to be the nation's prominent periodical monitoring and radical right in the United States fueled all government agencies and police departments into believing that anyone that uses specific words like militia, sovereign, oath keepers, constitution, patriots, and even founding fathers, to name just a few, are armed, radical, and dangerous cop killers whose names are put onto terrorist watch lists. The agitation often causes police to overreact with excessive forces, and on a few occasions, responses by SWAT when these words are used at traffic stops. Much of the overreaction that fuels the police comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center that spews forth lies to unsuspecting law enforcement agencies and departments. The Southern Poverty Law Center is an arm of the bar, whose purpose is to excite violence by federal agents and police upon we, the sovereign people, who are trying to make sense of our out-of-control federal judiciary and be free. In 1993, Speaker Representative James Traficant Jr. of Ohio, while addressing the House, revealed the bankruptcy of the United States into the congressional record and said, "All United States offices, officials, and departments are now operating within a de facto status in a name only under emergency wars powers. With the constitutional Republican form of government now dissolved, the receivers of the bankruptcy have adopted a new form of government for the United States. This new form of government is known as a democracy." being an established socialist communist order under a new governor for America. In 2001, the Homeland Security Police State surveillance grid reached maturity. In 2013, John Kerry, in an act of treason, signed the United Nations Arms Treaty. On November 21, 2018, German Chancellor Angela Merkel stated at an event by the Konrad Adenauer Foundation in Berlin, stated that sovereign nation states must not listen to the will of their citizens when it comes to questions of immigration, border, or even sovereignty, and made it clear she is attempting to push the global agenda to its disturbing conclusion by 2021. Her words echoed recent comments by the French President Emmanuel Macron, who stated in a Remembrance Day speech that patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism, because nationalism is treason. Macron told the German federal parliament that France and Germany should be at the center of the emerging new world order. The Franco-German couple had the obligation not to let the world slip into chaos and to guide it on the road to peace. Europe must be stronger and win more sovereignty. He went on to demand, just like Merkel, that the EU member states surrender national sovereignty to Brussels over foreign affairs, migration, and development, as well as given an increasing part of our budgets and even fiscal resources. Only the people can save our republic. Time is running out. If the people do not take a stand now, America will be lost forever. National Liberty Alliance has the only viable plan to save this nation. Let me repeat that. National Liberty Alliance has the only viable plan to save this nation. We challenge anyone to prove differently. We have a very narrow window of opportunity to organize and educate ourselves and our sheriffs. That takes time and money, and we might just have 1 year to accomplish that goal. That is what we need, but only if the people act now. Tomorrow will be too late. National Liberty Alliance has spent the last 9 years researching a solution. We found that solution in the law and in our founding fathers' documents and dialogue. We have filed hundreds of papers in our Marxist courts. We have addressed our Marxist Congress in the most humble terms, all to no prevail. So I ask, are you giving your time and your money to educate yourself and your sheriff? Are you working with other patriots to organize your county committee of safety in the same way that our founding fathers did to create this nation? If not, why? Why not? Please do not think that the other guy is doing it, because I can assure you that he is not. It's up to you. Go to nationallibertyalliance.org and contact your county committee of safety organizer and connect with your county committee of safety. If your state county is not listed, click the link, register your committee of safety here at the top of the page, and take the initiative to start one. You can pass that responsibility to someone else if you prefer, but let's get it started. Two, go to National Liberty Alliance to find the Committee of Safety handbook for instructions. Three, go to National Liberty Alliance and donate $5 a month or more to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Four, take NLA's Government by Consent course and our civics course. Five, join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs by buying your sheriff the book, Government by Consent. Six, go to National Liberty Alliance to join our Monday night open forums. In conclusion, the reality you perceive is the fiction they sold you. Only the knowledge of the truth will cure your distorted perception. If you don't fight for your children's liberty, who will? Patrick Henry said, "We must guard with jealous attention the public liberty." It's past time that you take a stand and defend our republic, because as John Adams said, liberty once lost is lost forever. Okay, So, you know, I posted this up. This did go out in an email last week. Some people were looking for a link to share it, so we did put it up on our website. Again, you can find us under People's Duty. You can come down to Political Issues, and let me see if I can get to it. Political Issues, and you can come down. You'll see America is Dying. There's also other things here. You know, our founding fathers and political parties, which we did mention something about that in this particular paper that we had written. We also wrote a paper on our founding fathers and political parties to get into more detail, specific situation, and what they had said. You know, James Madison, when arguing for the Federalist Papers, in Federalist Paper number 10, went through many, many pages, I think 4 or 5 pages of detail and information concerning the destructiveness of parties. We in America are not to have political parties. Political parties are for democracies. They've created us into it. They've turned us into a democracy. They've convinced the people that we've elected as our representatives, and even the United States Supreme Court justices call us a democracy. Our founding fathers deployed the democracies. They had one no part of it. They knew it was something that would be only destructive and end up as mob rule. And creating a democracy is the first step to create an oligarchy. The democracy in America has been created. Our government officials believe we are democracy. The United States Supreme Court believes we are democracy. The media hits us over and over and over again, we are a democracy. And the people keep saying, we are a democracy. Nothing could be further from the truth. A democracy is destructive and incompatible with a common law republic. It's not possible. You know, there really is not much for our representatives to be discussing and debating. They constantly bring to the table and before the American people ideas like let's get more control in the Second Amendment, let's do this, and everything to destroy our unalienable rights. And we continue to go on and on and on. You know, I listen to a lot of different programs when I get some time, and you know, different people talk about different problems and trying to solve the problems, and they all say we got to get busy, we got to get out there, we got to do something. Let's take back. Everybody's got to get up and do, but they don't tell them what to do. National Liberty Alliance has a plan. Our plan is our founding fathers' plan. It's not our plan. We didn't create the plan. They created it. They created the process and the system that we can take control of and take back control of our nation. I watched as hundreds of thousands of people went to Washington on January 6th, almost begging, pleading for their liberty, for their government, for control, because they've lost control. They don't have control. And it's pretty pitiful when you think about it, because they don't know what to do. People just don't know what to do. Well, we are trying to teach people what they need to do in order to take back this nation by building committees of safety on the grassroots level in every single county in America, rebuilding and restructuring our militia, bringing back the elected committeeman who will take control of the political process and put fear into the hearts of those people who are elected. Before, if they fail to be obedient to the committeemen, they will be removed from office. But first you need elected committeemen that are in control, that understand the process, understand the liberties and what's going on, and understand the Constitution enough to choose constitutionally minded individuals as our statesmen, and understand when they break that oath to support and defend the Constitution, to be able to see it and recognize it. Every day I listen to parts in the news here or there. Every single day I hear of constitutional violations over and nobody says anything. The debate goes on. And why? Because we're ignorant to the Constitution. We're ignorant to who we are as a people, what America is, what our republic is, what our natural law is, the difference between equity and law. The fact that the United States Supreme Court doesn't have the power or the authority under natural law to make the decisions they're making. They are equity courts. Their business is all about government agency. It has nothing to do with we, the people. They can't declare something lawful or unlawful. They just overstep their power, and the judiciary follows through, and the United States Supreme Court does nothing. They get away with it because we, the people, are ignorant to the common law, the nation that our founding fathers gave their lives for us, for their posterity. It's time that we step up and take control. Everybody needs to get involved. Everybody. You know, we even the people that have come to these Monday night meetings, a lot of people coming to these Monday night meetings aren't supporting NLA. Yeah, they're coming and maybe hearing and listening, and you have to be educating. But very few people are stuck financially where they can't support. And that does happen. And whenever anybody can't support NLA and they want to take our course, and the only course we require you to be a premier member is to take our government by consent course. And we did that because we had to collect money some way. So we said, give us $5 a month or more, and you can take our course for free. And once in a while, we get a person who can't afford it. And there are people who can't afford it and make very little on Social Security, and $5 a month is too much for them. So we will pass them. We pass them through because freely have we been given. Freely we want to give back to the people. Everything we have is through the education, things we've learned from our founding fathers out of history, going all the way back even 1600 B.C. to the first common law republic nation in the world, the United States being the second. I know I wrote a paper on this. I forget the number, but it's a couple of hundred, 200 and some odd nations are called republics. Okay, but their republic, and a republic ultimately is a government controlled by a constitution of some type. Russia's a republic. China's a republic. Iran's a republic. A lot of nations are a republic. But there is only one natural law republic in the world. And again, there hasn't been one for almost 1,600 years. Well, more than 1,600 B.C., 3,600 years. There hasn't been a natural law republic. We have received the blessings of God to be able to, you know, have a nation, one nation, under God, to receive his blessings, to accept his law. And of course, when we deny him and deny his law, he will deny us. And that's where America is right now. You know, we are at the precipice. We are teetering at the precipice. And I do see that there is a movement to get closer to God, and that's a good thing. And without that, there is no America, by the way. A nation without the Bible, and I know some people get upset with that, but actually it's only a few people that get upset with that. But a nation without the Bible, you can't have true justice without the Bible, because that's where common law comes from. Common law stems from Israel, from the Bible. Mosaic law, the first five books of the Bible, is where it begins. And so, you know, again, we have been blessed with liberty and still protected to some degree. But it's time for us to step up. You know, some people, they think, well, we'll just pray or we'll do this or we'll do that. Faith without works is dead. You have to work. You know, if you don't know what to do, well, prayer is a good thing, and prayer will give a lot, and God will answer prayers. I do believe that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much to God. So if, you know, we do pray, but if we have the opportunity to do something, to destroy evil, to prevent evil, to ward off evil, we have a duty to do something then. And we have the ability to ward off evil. We have the ability to destroy the evil that plagues America. And if we fail to do it and think we could just pray and not perform the work, then we're only fooling ourselves, and God will not bless that. So anyway, I guess that's about all I have to say on this. People need to respond. Let's get our sheriffs the book, Government by Consent. It's extremely important to buy our sheriffs those books. that book in order for them to know and understand what their job is. There's a large chapter in there just specially for sheriffs, but everything in that book is for sheriffs. Everything in that book is for everybody. And it teaches the people on what a common law nation is and should be, and how we should be thinking, and what liberty truly is, and what liberty is. Liberty is freedom from all man-made law. All. We are not to be living under the law of man. That's what liberty, true liberty is, to be liberated from men, the control of other men. And yet, we live under civil law, and we go before these people and in their gowns and hammer with their hammers and their desks, and they make these rulings, and we just obey them. It's all unlawful. It's unconstitutional. Our courts of law are to be decided of by the tribunal, being the people. 12 of our peers to make the decision. No one man and their civil laws should be judging any man. We need to be judged only by the rule of law, true law. And if you go into Black's Law Dictionary and you start studying to see the difference in laws, I did a paper on this also, I believe, and there's 51 different jurisdictions. One of them is the jurisdiction called LAW, law. None other is called that. In law, at law, law. That means common law, law under God, law in a righteous court, a just court, judged by our peers, judged by their hearts. The law is written in the hearts of men. They judge by their hearts, and they figure things out. That's the law. Everything else is something else. Civil law is something else. Equity is something else. And like I said, there are 50 other jurisdictions. All of them is something else, has nothing to do with we the people. And people need to understand that. Until you understand that, we'll continue to be slaves to this government, this small group of people that control this government. And have enslaved us. They take our money, our children's minds. They've destroyed our economy. They've destroyed our borders. They're destroying everything that is good. They've destroyed our morals, our way of life. We can no longer sit and just not do anything. We have to educate ourselves and get active. And we need to act as we're educating ourselves. We need to organize while we're educating ourselves. We have 1 year. If we're blessed to have that 1 year. You know, I know we think certain things about what Trump is going to do and what the military is going to do and all that other stuff. And I do kind of believe, I do rest in that. But, you know, nevertheless, that's there. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans if he's successful if the people do not educate themselves to take back the controls of their government, because someone has got to control the government. And right now, it's the elite. It's the New World Order. It's the people controlling our government. It's not us. It's someone else. And they don't have good intentions for you and your children or mine. It's time to step up. Everybody. We need to get these committees of safety in every single county. We need to get this book, Government by Consent, into the hand of all 3,134 sheriffs. We need to step up and take control and become elected committeemen. We need to get our committees of safety going. We need to take control of our courts. I've already started writing the papers, okay, on the papers that we're going to have to file once, you know, we get to the other side. Because you know what? We are governed, our courts are governed by the bar. And the bar is all about Babylonian law. It's about civil law, Roman law, Babylonian law, Justinian law. It's all the same thing. It's Babylonian law. And that's what they know. They'll call it Roman law. It means the same thing anyway. But that's what they'll call it. They'll call us a democracy. We're like Rome. We're under Roman law. We have civil law. It's destructive to the soul. It's destructive to our liberty. It's destructive to we the people, to our children. Our children are being taught in schools to be very good Marxists and communists. You can't even talk to some of these kids. I talk to some of these kids, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23. They've already been at school. Maybe they're through college already. And you can't get to them. They just don't want to hear nothing. They don't understand what they have been sold. And we're allowing that whole process to be sold to us as our government. Look what this guy in who's supposedly in office, Biden, look what he's doing. My goodness. He's destroying everything. He's ripping everything apart. He's destroying our borders. We you know, Trump has made us an exporter of oil and self-sufficient or efficient. And this guy has shut that down. We're now importing again. We're no longer major, you know, we're no longer exporting. Maybe we are doing some exporting. I don't know. But he shut everything down. We still now are back to being under the, relying on other nations to feed us their oil. And look at our food. Our food is destructive. Processed food is killing us. All the poisons in the air, in our water, in our food. People think you're crazy when you talk about that. But anybody who's been looking into these things, it's unbelievable what's going on. And we're dying slowly. We're a cancerous people filled with all kinds of illness because of what we eat. You are what you eat, spiritually, figuratively, and literally. You are what you eat. And right now, we're eating a whole bunch of democracy and a whole bunch of civil law and a whole bunch of slavery. It's time to step up. Everybody needs to get active. All right. Jan, are there any questions?
Yes, we have a number of questions tonight, John.
Okay.
The first one... I have joint custody of my grandchildren via maritime law, where I should have been awarded primary custody, but it was stripped from underneath me by a distant family member who had never been in the kid's life. Under God's law, how can this be changed over to be corrected?
I wonder why they said maritime law. I guess that was just making the point that that's the court they were in, I guess. I don't know. As far as these people running around with these black capes are concerned, these children aren't yours. They're theirs. They belong to the government. They belong to the people, to the village, okay? They certainly don't belong to you. And they love to get into the middle of this because they're destroyers of families, and it's a big thing that they need to destroy families, they need to destroy morality, they need to destroy the American way of life, and you're right, it's very difficult to get justice. It's hard to get a judge that will listen and possibly be turned to the good side, so to speak, to do the right thing. Every once in a while, we do see something take place that's good. But I'll tell you, you're not going to get much justice until we get to the other side. The other side being that the people finally take control. We take back our courts and return back the courts of justice. Family courts is the most disgusting, most destructive of all the courts. It's family courts are repugnant to anything, to humanity. It's inhumane. They're just ugly, horrible, disgusting people, all of them. And I've spoke with these people. They rock solid thinking insanity things. I mean, like they have total control over the people. We never gave them that control. We don't belong in those courts. And we need to dismantle those things. We have a lot of work to do once we get to the other side. But it depends on the people, enough people getting involved to be able to get to the other side and to have some kind of a clout to be able to make the changes. We got to get rid of political parties. We got to get rid of these family courts. They got to go. Okay, they just got to go. It should be some kind of an arbitration where people come in with family problems or situations and they try to work it out with the whole family. Because all they have is they got their eyes on your children to take them away from you. For whatever purposes, you know, but mostly to destroy the family is the main premise there. That's why these courts have been created, to destroy the family, to get rid of dad to begin with, and just to create problems and take them away and give them to strangers. And who knows where some of these children end up. I know we were looking into a case many, many years back, maybe about 6 years ago, and we had some inside information and some courts up in, I was involved with courts, and it was involved with really stealing children. And they were getting, funneled into the slave trade. It's pretty disgusting. That's going on in America right here. In probably every major city in America, this is happening. But, justice isn't going to happen until we get to the other side. Getting to the other side is the people step up and take control and take back our courts. We, the people, need to take 100% control of our courts. No judge should be sitting in any court of law. Magistrates, yes, to certify the decision of the people. But that's it. Okay, next question.
There appears to be multiple groups who are working hard toward the goal of bringing the governance of we the people back to the people, moving the people away from the illegal corporation to the individual state sovereignty. My friend is involved in the Convention of States. I haven't yet sat down with her to discuss what she is doing. Others are educating about nullification. My single question, yes or no, is each group working on different parts of this process? I will continue to do due diligence to get answers to my questions. No need for you to spend time elaborating, but just yes or no. Are groups working in harmony, or are they duplicating each other's efforts, thus wasting valuable time, energy, and resources?
Yeah, I don't want to say that they're wasting their time and resources. A lot of these things that they're doing out there may be good, but that's not going to take back control. That's not going to change things. It's not going to save our republic. It's not going to save America. The only way America is going to be saved, if the people finally come to the decision and realization, it's time for me to get up and spend some time to re-educate myself and take control of things on the grassroots level, working in my county with my neighbors and county to county and state to state, where all 50 states are working together for the same cause. If we don't, we have to take back our courts. You know, it all starts with taking back our courts, ultimately, because until we get courts of justice, we can't even take back the elected committeeman process, which belongs to the people. It's an unalienable right to have the proper representation of our political process, which is the committeeman. And that brings us right down into the grassroots. So, you know, some of this work is good and should go on. You know, we do that kind of work, too. You know, it should go on. We work with the Republic Review, which is similar to that one thing with this. What was that called with the states, the Assembly of States or something? I forget what you had said, Jan. I think it was called the Assembly of States or something. But I think the Republic Review that we're working with is very similar to that, probably, working within the legislators of the states to get rid of unconstitutional legislation. It's a Republic Review. And to get rid of all of the bad stuff. Terry, did you want to say something?
Yeah, Committee of States.
The Committee of States?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know that I'm familiar with it. It sounds familiar, but I'm not.
It's Convention of States.
That's what I'm familiar with, yes.
Sorry.
But in any event, I wouldn't say it's bad. But it's not going to get the results they want. Because it's not people controlled. It's just getting them to get talking some more, to do some more damage, probably, you know. That's what's going to happen to this. I mean, you get a constitutional convention going, and this country, this nation's gone. It's over for us. We don't have any Thomas Jeffersons, George Washingtons, James Madisons. We don't have any of them people there, you know. We have nothing but tyrants under this thing. No, the people, we don't have to redo. We got our foundation for this nation already there. It begins with the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our law. The Declaration of Independence is the foundation of our law. The Constitution is the framework, the structure, the house, you know, of law that is upon that law. It lays out the authorities, the jurisdictions, and the powers that we divvy out and what the restrictions are, what they can decide on, what they can't decide on. And then the Bill of Rights, really that is the capstone, and that anything that affects anything that they can think, do, or say that would injure any of those Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights is the beginning, those Ten Amendments. I mean, there's a lot more than that. Anything that injures our unalienable right, okay, is null and void. So that's the rule of thumb. That's the tape measure that you use the tape to put up and measure whatever kind of legislation they want to bring out. You could measure it up to the Bill of Rights, and if it's in violation of the Bill of Rights in any way, if it doesn't measure up, it's repugnant, and therefore it's null and void. And it doesn't matter whether they passed it or not. It's null and void anyway. We the people have the power of nullification. Nullification is how this nation started. We nullified Britain. We're out of here. We're done with them. Well, we could do the same thing. We can nullify all of this crazy legislation that they put out there. First of all, there is no legislation under common law, nor can there be under common law, nor have we or could we ever give them the authority to write any legislation that would govern our behavior. We are governed by morality. We are governed by the natural law. And that is the ruler that we lay up, is that natural law. And in the heart, when the situation is brought to bear, and people consider this, you know, 12 jurors or whatever, and they consider it, in the heart they know the right and wrong. We all know. And one or two may not get it, and that's why they deliberate and go back and forth until they come to a final conclusion, because they got to turn the other ones who are missing it to their side so that they can get an agreement between all 12, has to be unanimous, to come back with a decision. And it's also up to the jury not only to decide innocence and guilt, but they also get to decide what the penalty is. And the penalty should always be with an eye towards restitution, to restore the injured party. That's what it's all about. That's where the focus is to be. So it's the people who are to decide. The people to decide through a grand jury on whether there is a crime that was committed or not. And the possibility or the most likelihood that, yeah, this is the person that did it. Now let's send it in to go to a court to find out. You know, when someone pleads guilty, and no contest, and they just want to say, yeah, I'm guilty, and I'll pay the price. That's that. Well, why do judges make that decision? It's not for the judges to make any judgment over the people. That still has got to go before a trial jury, just for the purpose of looking at the case, finding out what took place, all the details, and then making a decision on what that penalty might be with an eye towards restitution. Okay? Not necessarily incarceration, restitution. Anyway, I know I went off base there, but I guess I did. Next question. Jan, did we lose you? You have to unmute yourself.
Yep, got it. This person has apparently got an interest in the jury administrator's job and sent two links to jobs that are advertised around the country. One was a ZipRecruiter, and I didn't recognize the other one. The question is, can you give a job description for the Republic Common Law Jury Administrator?
An administrator for the juries, whether it be a grand jury or a trial jury, you know, they're both the juries, and so we need someone to administer to them, to administrate for them. Right now, we have the government doing that job. They decide all the decisions concerning, you know, how these people are orientated. And if I know when I read the federal book, for grand juries and trial juries, I almost puked. It is the most disgusting thing I've ever read in my life. Talking about stripping us of liberties, you go read that book. It's really pathetic and disgusting and destructive. And you know, but the job of the jury administrators ultimately is, first of all, to work together. There should be four administrators, one paralegal, which should also be an administrator too, so basically there's five. But we need to first call the people. And when we get the people in for potential grand jury or trial jury, they need to be orientated. They need to be fully informed jurists, fully informed. That could be done in a period of 6 to 8 hours. Matter of fact, we've already put a plan together for that. You know, so these people need to be orientated, so they need to understand the power and the authority of the people, that they are the sovereign and the sovereign makes the law, that they have the ability, if it is a court case where equity is involved, because maybe someone is working for the government, so equity is involved. They're governed by regulations and codes and statutes. That's what it's for the government people working in government. So if equity is to be considered in that court case, the people have the ability to negate it, to say, no, we don't like this law. Okay, they can nullify it. And it's called jury nullification. So they can nullify any law they want. They can use it as a guide. You know, they say, oh, this person's got to get 5 years if they do this. Well, they can use that as a guide. But look at the idea under common law, really, is to restore not only the injured party, but the violator, too, to put that chance, that opportunity of repentance, that opportunity to be brought back into society, back in amongst the people. And always the people, the person injured must be restored, not the government. Look, sometimes they have these must be fined $500,000 or whatever the case may be. And there are some crazy fines out there sometimes. you know, why should the government benefit? And, you know, first of all, we're already paying for everything they're doing. They don't need no more money. Matter of fact, I think they need less money. I think we need to take some of the money away from them. You know, we need to really bring this back to the people. The people need to decide, and they need to focus in on restoring the injured party. That's the key. So that's really what the administrator's job is, to really bring them forward. And to, they're also an investigative body for the grand jury. If the grand jury decides that they want to look into something a little more, maybe something, another can of worms opened up, and they're saying, hey, we see a crime over here too, we want to look. Well, then we need to, the administrators would clear the way for an investigation for that grand jury. They'd be able to go into maybe government offices or whatever, look into the files, even into their computers, and to investigate, to question people. It's an investigation. And, of course, the jury administrators could be that body to do it for them, or they could do it themselves. And then the evidence should be brought before the grand jury, and that evidence should be brought forth by the sheriff. That's where the evidence comes from, the sheriff, not a prosecutor. Prosecutors don't belong talking to juries, in the grand jury, that is, anyway. The only time they could talk to a jury is when they're in a court of law and they're bringing their case, they're prosecuting a case. So that's basically the job of the jury administrator, to make sure that the law is not abused, where the jurists are not abused, and making sure they, again, are fully given full knowledge of the law and what they're about to do. And so, again, we have to orientate them on that job and make sure that, again, that they have opportunity to examine evidence, no matter where that evidence is. Okay, next question.
I have been hearing more and more about potential vaccine passports and proof of vaccination being proposed upon future ATM machines to scrutinize who can and who can't transact with them. This right now is just talk, but seems to be more frequently arising. If this situation materializes, what recourse do we, the people, have? What is NLA's plan of action against it? And what can newly organized committees of safety do to curtail this? I also have noticed over the last year a few entities disallowing both cash transactions, such as the PA Turnpike shutting down all the toll collection booths under the guise of the pandemic. That was a perfect opportunity. Time will tell if the collection booths will ever resume. Your comments and advice, please.
Well, are we awake yet? I mean, goodness, just think about these things. And it's just, look, we got Agenda 21 to deal with. We spoke a little earlier about other problems. We got border problems. I mean, we're all running around with masks, and but they're piling in all of these people from all over the world coming in through our southern border, and it's infecting all of us if they're infecting us with something, which I don't believe exists anyway. Look, at all this can be settled quite quickly in courts of law. There's a lot of business and a lot of work to be done once we can get courts of justice. There's nothing can be done to this until we get courts of justice. And now we can save this nation through courts of justice by taking back the power and the authority to by people working on the grassroots to take up the power and the authority, okay? By the things that we teach, there's the Republic Review, there's the committee men, there's the militia, there's, of course, the Committee of Safety itself, there's the jury administrations, okay? And once we take control on the local level, all politics is local. We've been hearing that for a very long time. If you're controlling your political processes on a local level, you're controlling it on the state level collectively with other counties, and you're controlling it on the national level with other states. But all of us have to do, we have 3,133 or 34 counties, we have to get committees of safety in every single one of them, we have to get the power and the authority into the hands of the people through that process. When a problem comes up, the people in that county, you know, from town to town, hey, go see the Committee of Safety down there. This is what they do, you know. And so they go down and they listen to see what's going on. They bring their problem to them, and they direct them to the proper place and start working towards solving that problem. But we have to do this quickly. I think we have a window of time, 1 year. That's it. I don't know that we have any more time after that, considering how things are going. Unless the military makes a move quickly. But even with that said and done, we still have to get the job done so the people take control of these things. We have to get rid of all of this craziness in our food. There's nothing. Our food is full of poison. We're dying from our food. Processed food is killing us just to begin with. Not to mention all the poison and crap they put into that. Our water is killing us. You know, our air, I noticed this summer, about a couple of weeks ago, I looked up in the sky, last summer or two, I didn't see any more of the spraying up there. But just a week or two or so, I started noticing. And the other day, I mean, they were all over the place here in my county. They were just crisscrossing everywhere. It started again. They're poisoning us again. They're putting it into the air. So we got a lot of problems. That problem is just one problem of many, but they can be settled very, very quickly. We've lost our minds. We've gone insane. We're a nation that has gone insane. You know, we have a narrative, our subconscious, so to speak, constantly beating us, telling us what is politically correct. This is politically correct. And we're afraid to even talk. I'm not, and some other people aren't, but a lot of people are afraid to talk. They're afraid to stick up for their rights, you know. That can be solved, and a lot of problems can be solved. They can be solved very quickly. That kind of thing, if you've got court of justice, that's not even going to happen. As long as the country continues to go the way it is and Biden continues to be the quote-unquote president, we're going to be worse and worse in trouble. We better get moving, because if Trump doesn't do anything and the military doesn't do anything, well, then it's up to the people. But if the people aren't doing anything, then it's not getting done. I mentioned this earlier also. I listen to a lot of different programs, you know, people talking about problems and talking about what they think is happening and all these different things. And every single one of them, every single day, says to the people to get active. You got to get active. You got to do something. What? The people respond back, what? What do I? Go out and vote. That's not enough. Okay, what? What do I do? How can I take back control? How can I stop this madness? How can I shut off this conscious thing, national consciousness of the narrative that they put out there that constantly bombard? How do we shut them down? Well, you know, all of this is unlawful, by the way. There is actual law out there. Anything that is destructive to our Constitution is a crime. You preach, you bring forth and you start assaulting the Bill of Rights. That's a crime. How come we, the people, don't recognize that as a crime? That's how far lost we are. We have lost our mind. We've lost our common sense. Common sense has escaped us. It's gone. It's not here no more. Not on a national level, it isn't. And people are confused. Even, you know, no matter where they're at, they're just confused, you know, until you start to get educated. I'm not confused anymore. I know exactly what's happening. I see clearly what's happening. And many other people who are looking into the same things I'm looking, they understand, they're seeing, they understand. But we have to change the narrative. We have to gain control. You're not going to gain control of this nation without getting its courts back. That's the first order of business. It took us a while to figure that out. But we did figure that out about 8 or 9 years ago, whatever it was, and we went into the courts building administrators. But that's when we realized we have to take the courts back. When we take the courts back, we the people own it all. We got it, and we can move quickly then. If we take the courts back, we move quickly, you know? Next question.
Okay, this person is talking about adding their IRS tax issue to the challenge of jurisdiction case. The following list is what they've done so far on this project. I submitted the joinder form online to NLA for tax issue. I sent a draft affidavit to Jim to review, which is attached. Requested IRS forms 4490 and 56 to show tax, lien, or judgment filed. Did a UCC filing search online at New York City-ACRIS and the New York County Clerk online search and found no lien or judgment, and wrote summary and sent screenshots to Jim attached. Okay, sent my real estate closing lawyer copies of my search results, finding nothing. Requested she send me everything she has on title search that revealed a tax lien. I have yet to see any title search lien judgment related documents. Sent my old real estate closing lawyer, sales that fell through due to COVID, to ask for everything he has on the title search that revealed a tax lien before I will pay him. I have yet to see any title search lien judgment related documents. My main concern is that my real estate closing is targeted for June 16th, 17th, in 2021, and that I will be charged about $96,000 for the IRS tax liens with no supporting itemization of the interest and penalties. For example, how it grew from $13,000 to this large amount. I'm not sure what I can do about the situation. Both lawyers said it came up on the title search for $86,000 as an IRS tax lien. However, when I spoke to Jim on Saturday, he said it copied, it could be, a notice of lien as opposed to a lien. I wasn't aware of the two distinctions. However, it concerns me that I have never received any documentation from my lawyers on exactly what they found on the title search. I asked my lawyer for the full name of the court, case or docket number, court address, and judge's name. Thanks for any general information you can provide on the joinder to the case for my tax lien issue, and what are the next step I should take?
Well, look, here's the key. No case, criminal or civil, can go forward without a sworn affidavit. Something has to be sworn against you. And the individual brought it up, Form 56 and 4490. One is fiduciary authority, the other one is proof of claim. If there is no proof of claim, matter of fact, it is the law. It is required for any government agency that wants to pursue any monies that they believe is owed to them from an individual, they must fill out a proof of claim. That is an affidavit. It must be sworn to in front of a judge or a magistrate of some type, or you know, a notary. If that doesn't exist, there is no case. I would, you know, if you got a lawyer, say to a lawyer, you know, how can a case go forward without a proof of claim? How could a case go forward without a sworn affidavit? That proof of claim is sworn affidavit. Without it, they have nothing, absolutely nothing. And that's what I would hit on constantly. You see, I've seen people go into the courts and argue before I even understood this, and I used to see them argue about this release of lien, but they never understood what the lien was. The lien is filed in the county, and it's a lie and a fraud. And when you reveal it as a lie and a fraud, that's when it becomes really dicey in the court. Okay, so that's where you want to focus. You want to focus on that lien that doesn't exist. Because what they've done, it's called a notice of lien. And a notice of lien does not, I've never seen one. I've never heard of one anywhere, actually, a real lien filed in a federal court. Liens are supposed to be filed in the federal district court where you live. So whatever district you're in, that's where the liens are filed, in that federal district court. You go down to the records and you look for that lien. You won't find it. Okay, because in order for them to file a lien, you got to get an agent to sign and swear that that's true. You know, when they came out for me for a couple, the first time they came out was a couple of $100,000, okay, and nobody was going to sign, they couldn't prove anything like that. And now, no one's going to sign that paper and swear to it that being true. Now they have to fill out, in order to swear to it, they have to file that form. I believe it's the 56, which is the proof of claim, and the 4490, I believe, is the fiduciary authority. And you need both, because you see, they get their information by talking to other people, and when they go to other people and they make the claim, they say we want the records, and we demand that you send it, and they even get a judge to sign a paper on that usually, but with or without it, they don't care, they go anyway, and you know, and they demand. Matter of fact, I don't think the IRS even pursues that; they do it straight out before they even get into any court. Because they've done it to me numerous times. They'll go to your institution, you know, the banking, wherever you're banking, wherever you got money going on. But generally speaking, let's talk about banks. They go to the bank, and they tell the bank, we want all the records on this individual. And they just file a form with them. There's nothing sworn, nothing. And the bank, you're notified. The IRS not only files it with the bank, they notify you of that filing to the bank with the demand for information. First thing you got to do is you got to write an affidavit paper, file it real quick, and serve it upon the bank and the IRS to let it be known you're not agreeing to this. You see, they wait 7 days, and after 7 days, that's when they get the information. If you don't object to it within that 7-day period, then you acquiesced, you agree, they got it. Okay. Now they take that information. What they love to do, if they saw that $100,000 went through that bank in the course of a year, okay, what, $300,000 went through that bank in the course of a year, guess what you owe me? Guess what you owe the IRS? You owe the IRS $300,000. And that's what they're going to claim is going to be. And they'll use that to, at some point, maybe even to negotiate down, because they're out really to rob you. That's what it's all about. But in any event, okay, there is no proof of claim. Everything is, and once they did that, I sued the bank also, you know, because the bank, even though I notified the bank and did not give permission for them to share that information without a court order, they did it anyway, okay? That was a violation right there, the securities violations, all kinds of violations. And so that's unlawful also. The problem is there's other things and other arguments you might want to make, and so you really got to do some really research and look in ways and things that you didn't think of looking at. You know, just by looking at the authority that they claim to have, you know, go down that rabbit hole. They'll say, we have the authority to get this information or to say this or to do this under, you know, USC 26, Section 369, whatever it is, you know. Go look it up. And then you'll see a referral somewhere else. Start going down that rabbit hole. And you're going to find that the bottom line has nothing to do with you or me or any of the people. It has to do with insanity, really, because none of it makes sense anyway. But it's all commercial activity. It has to do with fuels, gasoline, oils, jet fuels, and okay, and cigarettes, and even firearms. I mean, it has nothing to do with the people. Okay, and you know, that's another way to put that off into the record, and they don't want that into the record. But the problem is you're going to have to fight this battle yourself, because no lawyer is going to pick this up. The judge is going to take them into the back room and let them know what's going on. You can't make these cases. Don't bring these things in. Take this stuff out. We don't want it in this court here. And the lawyer is going to obey, because, you know, he owes his job to them. He's controlled by the bar. The bar is the evil. They're the destructor of our nation. These are the people that destroyed our monetary system. They've destroyed our economic system. They've destroyed our banking system. They've destroyed our liberties. They've destroyed our courts. They've destroyed our schools, our church. They've destroyed everything. They just destroy us. And so, you know, no lawyer is going to bring these things up. They're not even going to. I'll bet you dollars to donuts, your lawyer won't even bring up the fact that there is no affidavit to get a case going. They won't even bring that up into the court. No matter how much you try to push it, he's not going to bring it up. I'll bet you anything, okay? And if he does, he's going to reverse very quickly, because he's going to be called into the judge's chamber, or he'll get the message around the corner somehow. He's going to pull it back. He's not going to do it. He's not going to go down a rabbit hole and try to make the position that you're not a taxpayer, okay, because you're not. No human being is a taxpayer, none, okay? And the deeper down the rabbit hole you go, the more proof you get of that fact. The fiduciary authority with the bank, again, they had no authority to do it. You can sue them also. I've always sued them together. It might be advantageous or wise to sue them separately. If you're going to sue both entities, because I surely would if they sort of share my personal information with anybody without a warrant. They have to have which still requires a sworn affidavit, no matter how you go. Got to get a sworn affidavit. No sworn affidavit anywhere. So it's tough to fight the IRS. You got to really, you know, really look into a lot of different positions on this and be prepared. But the key position is that there is no affidavit, therefore there is no court case. There's nothing sworn against you. All right, next question. And one other thing. I don't know whether I was clear on this. I might have been, because you mentioned that Jim had mentioned something. Yeah, look at an affidavit, a notice of lien is only a paper filed by the IRS, given to the county, a clerk. It's an act of fraud. Claiming that paper says there is a, and they do it by phone call now, I hear too, but they claim that there is a lien on them. So this is a notice of lien, notice to the county clerk, which puts them on notice for the collection, and then they leverage that off to the sheriff to make the collection. The whole thing is a fraud. It's a lie. And when you go back, and that's the other thing I used against them, I went down to the federal records. I looked for it, and it wasn't there. How can you get a notice of lien? And in my case, I got a release of lien from that, because they gave me a notice of lien, then they gave me a release of lien after I went into court with that particular position. So it destroyed the whole case. And for people that are understanding these things and able to make that battle, and it's a dangerous and frightening battle to make, but, you know, you make that battle if you have to. You don't have a choice. So you make the battle. Then they do a different game. They do a different ploy now. The IRS, which is a collection agency, by the way, hires another collection agency to come out after you, to destroy your credit, and to come out after you to get anything they can, any way they can. Okay? More fraud. Putting them on notice. I sued them, too. And so, again, there's a lot of homework to do on that. I if I get the time, and I know I've said this before, I'll write some papers on this and get it up on a web page, but right now I just don't have the time to put it together, but I will eventually do something on this, maybe. And unless we get to the other side, we won't have to no more. But next question.
Okay, that's all the questions, John, but I think we should mention the Red Pill Expo. It goes on in Rapid City, South Dakota this year. It starts Friday night, the 4th, and then the main event is Saturday and Sunday, the 5th and 6th. They have a really great list of speakers. They're going to talk about COVID. They're going to talk about everything out there that's currently going on in a large number of areas. If you want information on it, you can go to...
So that's June 4th.
June 5th and 6th, yes.
Okay.
RedPillExpo.org. And if you're planning to go, would you please send me an email to jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. We're trying to get enough people together. If we get enough NLA members together, we can get a table there. It's a great place to meet people. These are like-minded people. They're doers. They're people we would like to communicate with. And if we get enough people to sign up, then we will be able to get a table. We have several volunteers, Dan from Montana and Brent, and I think Francine is going. So we have a number of people as a starter, but we don't have enough yet to get our tables. If you really want to get up to speed on a lot of topics, this is a great place to do it. It's an interesting area to visit. You can go out to Mount Rushmore. If you haven't been there, that's a very interesting site and a beautiful area. There are other things, the Badlands, the Crazy Horse Monument, stuff like that around. There's a dinosaur pit. If you like old bones, it's not too far away. That one of our members, Gary Will, who's from South Dakota originally, has recommended as a great tourist site. So if you have any inclination, please attend. If you can't make it and still want to get all of this information, you can sign up to live stream the talks. I think last year it was like $35 to live stream it. Well worth the investment. But if you can, you know, take a break, go out, relax, enjoy the scenery, go to the expo, get informed. And then send me an email prior to that once you make your reservations so we can try and get a table. That's all I have tonight, John.
Well, are you flying out?
Am I flying out? I'm flying, but I'm not flying there. I'll just be coming back from another trip about then.
Oh, you're not going? Aren't you heading out there? To the expo?
I'm not going to the Red Pill Expo, no. I'm going to Chicago about that time.
Okay, Brent, is Brent here? And Gerard, is Gerard here?
Gerard is here. I saw him earlier.
Mr. Gerard, calling Gerard. Pick up the mic, Gerard. How about Brent? Is Brent here yet? I don't see Brent. I don't see Gerard.
Yeah, I haven't seen Brent yet.
Okay, keep an eye out for him if he pops in, and we'll give him the mic for a while. Gerard, are you here? All right, well, let me start taking questions. Jan, if you can get him on the phone, he may be away from his computer. Ring his bell, see if he wants to take the mic over. But meanwhile, I'm going to take questions, okay?
Yeah, he's here. I'll try and raise him.
Okay. Okay, first caller here we got is Barbara from New York. You got the mic. Go right ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, hi. This is Barbara from New York. And I sent a email to my son's college to ask for exemptions from the flu shot, the COVID-19 injection, and the COVID-19 test. And I got back, I sent it to two of the nurses. They sent back the email to my son, and they gave him this super legal 2-page document where we're supposed to like leave them blameless of all possible harm.
Whoa. Leave them blameless of all possible harm. In other words, let me just see if I understand this. You don't want to get the vaccine. Okay, mm-hmm. And so you're going in and they want you to sign a paper to leave them blameless. How are they going to prove that if someone got some kind of illness from him, how are they going to prove it got it from him?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really say that. It seems to be saying it, but it doesn't.
Yeah, but lawyers, they just don't stop. They just totally destroy our whole legal system in any shape or way that they want, that they can. It's insane what these bar attorneys do. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that the reason my son looked up, I said, this can't be your typical vaccine exemption form. And so he looked up for another college in Pennsylvania, and it was very simple. It's like, I don't want it, you know, I don't want this. I'm taking the religious exemption. This thing is, it goes on and on and on about how we will never sue them, we will never do that. And I think it's...
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, if you don't have a conflict with what they're putting down there, like you'll never sue them, look at them, I would sue them if they didn't let me in, you know, my children, and I'd sue them from that perspective. It's horrible that you have to sign a form. You either got two choices. You're going to have to go find another school to go to, or you sign the form. The question is is there a problem with anything on the form? I mean, they can't prove anything anyway. It's stupid. It's just moronic.
They've already got the PREP Act. They've already got the Department of Defense contract under Warp Speed. And now they want another layer of liability release. So it looks like they're pretty obsessive about this. It seems like they know they're doing harm. I don't know. I certainly, it's like they're asking me to like put down my weapons or something. And I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. I'm not gonna sign that. I want a simple exemption form. And if I do sign something like this, then they can, you know, when he's there, they can say, oh, my God, we have this special emergency. You know, we're going to have to, you know, give everyone an injection. And they'll feel very comfortable with the fact that I signed something, you know, saying I would never sue them. I'm not going to do it. It's not acceptable to me. And the other thing...
Well, I agree, but you do know it's going to be a battle with them, so... You know, but maybe not. You know, when I first see a doctor for the first time, or when I take my wife and she sees a certain doctor for the first time, they want you to sign that paper. Goodness, please, what's the name of that paper that they want you to sign? Can't think of it. Jen, do you know the name of that paper I'm thinking of? It's supposed to protect your rights. But in any event, I never signed them. And what happened is most of these doctors' offices now, they seem to be working with groups, and it's all controlled by lawyers.
Yes.
They got a legal department and everything.
Yeah, the crew.
And I said, look, you're gonna service us, or we're gonna sue, and you can't deny us our access to medical needs, you know, to the medical services. And on a couple occasions, I had to wait, but they called over to the legal department, and they allowed me to come in without signing that paper. So, so you have to push it. They may let you go in without signing the paper. They may just be trying to get this. Maybe they realize that they, you know, under threat of lawsuits particularly, they may back off.
Do you know about how it's been coming out since, I don't know, a few weeks ago, that the unvaccinated are getting symptoms and disorders from the vaccinated?
I'm hearing some really horrible, horrific stories from people who are credible doctors, researchers, all kinds of people, you know, hearing from different places that anyone who's got the shot is going to pass within the next couple of years. You know, there's a 0.08%. Okay, 0.08% of the people will die within, you know, the first so many days. I forget what it was.
Or 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then after that, the life expectancy of the person who took those shots is like 2 years, generally speaking. Maybe as long as five. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of problems is what they're saying. They've been talking about population control for a long time, killing off people for a long time, and I think it's finally here. I think this is what this is all about.
Yeah,
I mean, why make such a big havoc about this thing? Make such such a big stink, okay, getting all this going on, and yeah. then for what purpose?
Why you know? Force it?
Yeah. You know what will happen? I think their plan is when all these people start dying and say, yeah, you see, the flu's back again. We got to,
oh,
you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, Mike Yeadon from Pfizer and Dolores Cahill, who seems to be extremely, you know, the researcher who's on in Doctors Alliance, World Doctors Alliance, and others really, really seeming to be very knowledgeable, very credible. People are saying that this hyperimmune response will create this because the artificial spike protein will just not dissolve. It, like regular immunity, everything breaks down. This won't break down. It's like it's the big lie. It's like most people just won't believe that. It's just
yeah.
Too no,
that's awful. That's really such a shame. I mean, you know, I was in I don't wear a mask no more, and I go into the grocery store, and once in a while I get, someone annoys me. And I was at the register, and the person at the, you know, was at the register said, you know, you got to put on a mask. No, I don't do a mask. I'm exempt. And so I shared with them. I said, look, you know, here's the bottom line, and you could go look at the executive order. You know, not that that's law anyway, but I don't get into that argument.
Right.
Because
right.
they don't understand this one. They're so frightened. I mean, people are,
yes.
step back from me sometimes. Ridiculous.
Oh, obviously. And
so I said to the guy, I said, look, I have a condition which is none of your damn business, but I got a condition and that exempts me. He says, well, you shouldn't be here. You should be home in bed. I mean, this snot-nosed kid, he must have been 17 or 18, you know.
Oh, God.
As a matter of fact, I'm going back tomorrow and I'm going to go talk to the manager and tell him I had it. If I get people come and give me a hard time that work for your store, I'm going to sue. This is it. You need to educate these people that everyone does not have to wear a mask. You know, so it's just stupidity.
Yeah.
People are under such fear. I mean, I can't believe, you know.
Yeah. You talk about, you know, people need to be educated. They need to take hold of their own health. They need to educate themselves on what the medical facts are. You don't hand that over to these people who have this incredible political, you know, financial agenda. You do it yourself, and people don't look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they will make these major life decisions without ever looking it up. And you've got to learn the terms. You've got to be familiar with, you know, the credible doctors who are not, co-opted by the institutions. You've got to know how the whole thing works. You've got to know it yourself. You can't hand it over to somebody else, but people won't do that.
No. Well, we posted on our front page on our website here.
Yeah.
Right up on top, we have it's an urgent message right on the top of the page.
Yeah, I really... That's
and
really
it says Mike Yeadon, how you pronounce it, ex-chief scientist of Pfizer, has stated that, and he's also was vice president, and, you know, we put a link to this guy. I researched the guy. It's a real guy. It's a real person.
Oh,
and,
you
know, if you click here for more information, you go to his website, and he talks about all kinds of stuff out there. But he basically says, he stated that it is now too late to save any person who has been injected with the COVID-19 vaccine. He urges those who have not yet been injected with the deadly compound to fight for the continuation of humans and the lives of their children. The world-acclaimed immunologist goes on to outline the process which he says will kill the vast majority of the people now alive. Immediately on receipt of the first injection, around 0.8%, of the people die, that's point, you know, it's 0.8 of 1%, of the people will die within 2 weeks. Yeah, you were right, in 2 weeks. The survivors have a life expectancy of 2 years on average.
Right.
But this disease, but this is a decreased with every top up, top up or booster injection. So the more you take, the more injections, the second one, they'll probably come up with a third one. I mean, they're just trying to kill everybody off, I think.
Antibody-dependent enhancement is the process. And they've seen it. I mean, they say it was untested. They did it with ferrets, like twice at least. They did it with
cats. They all died.
And they all died.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty good evidence. But you know, the fact that they've a lot of doctors are talking about how the unvaccinated are getting serious symptoms from the vaccinated. My son was...
Well, that, I don't know that that's a fact. I think that's a theory that makes sense.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
It's a theory. And I'm...
Well, here's a big problem. Just think about this. Maybe we do need to get cards on the people who took the vaccine so we know who we're dealing with because, hey, they may affect our... Look, what if my children want to marry someone and they've got the vaccine, you know, what happens with the children that are born? We need to know.
You should wear a sign that says, I was vaccinated.
Yeah, I think I like that. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's you need to stay away from them. It's starting to turn out that way. I was thinking, you know, my son will probably I'll probably lose this battle because he's 21 and he won't accept it. But I don't think it's safe for him to go back because of that reason.
I don't know. You may have a point there. You know, I really don't know because, like I said, it is a theory. I haven't heard anyone say absolute that there's a shedding. That could be a problem, so I don't know.
There's an OBGYN, there's a nurse who goes online on Friday on, and she said that she works with a doctor who's a OBGYN, and he has anybody who's vaccinated tell them in advance so they can get all the pregnant women out of the office because they've had these incidents enough that they know it's a problem. Do you think this Operation Warp Speed is, there's so many rules, so many laws that they're violating. There's two statutes that they're violating. There's the Nuremberg Code. There's the 2008 forced sterilization is a war crime in the International War Crime law to Iran. It happened in 2008. That was for forced sterilization. There's the common law violations. They're doing so much wrong. I mean, can you just
look at vaccines are a danger no matter what they're for.
This is an experimental. It's experimental. It's under EUA. It's under experimental authorization. It's not even approved by the FDA, and it really shouldn't. They seized their so it's unapproved. They say instead it's something lower. It's authorized, but it's authorized on completely false claims. It can only be authorized if there's no alternative. Well, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are excellent alternatives. Mm-hmm. So it's a fake authorization. It doesn't even meet the authorization level. So for them to mandate it to a college is, I think, a massive crime. Can't I just, like, call the sheriff in Pennsylvania and say, look, they're doing this thing at this college. Can you go and arrest them? Is that ridiculous? I don't know.
Yeah, the sheriff isn't educated enough. I mean, maybe he is, but it's very rare to find one that is to even consider helping you. I would try writing to the legal department, making your case clear and your intent on lawsuit, if that's what your intent is, should they prevent your son from going. But again, you do have another point, the concern of shedding. If everybody in there has got the vaccine and they're shedding something off of that, that could be a problem too. But again, I don't know. Gerard looks into a lot of this stuff. I don't know if he's really looked deep enough into the shedding to find absolute evidence or not. I believe there's absolute evidence on the fact that this is really population control. They're looking to kill the people.
Absolutely,
just poison.
Yeah.
I mean, they're poisoning the water. They're back and poisoning the air. They're poisoning everything. Everything's upside down. You know, everything is upside down. Everything you should be doing, they tell you you shouldn't. And everything you shouldn't be doing, they tell you you should. You fill yourself with all this processed food, all these carbohydrates and sugar. And then we get all these diseases and we wonder where it comes from. And I'm hearing from a lot of different doctors that are holistic, looking at the whole body and really staying away from pharmaceuticals almost completely. And they're saying, look, you know, if you give up all of this, get away as much as you can from processed food. Stop the mm-hmm. sugar intake, at least until mm-hmm. you can get healthy, you know, which may take 6 months or something. And reduce your carbohydrates down to almost nothing. And get because it's all weight connected. Get your weight all the way down. Get your vitamins and supplements in, and you might end up curing just about every disease you can think of. You know, yeah. heart disease. Even heart disease yeah. can be cured in thinking this way and bringing the body back under control and away from. It's all about poison. You know, they treat yeah. the symptoms but they don't really ever treat the problem, and they usually can't even find it. It may appear in one part of the body, but the problem right. is really on another part of the body, and it's holistic. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, got to move on. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Gerard, are you here? Were you able to get a hold of Gerard, Jan? We'll take our next caller. Kevin, how you doing from New York? You got the mic.
Yeah, John, it's. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's my same question. You know, I keep asking it. It's been quite some time.
I know. I just haven't. I still haven't signed off. They sent me. Matter of fact, I'm trying to get a hold of them now. To say, well, just send me the whole darn thing, because they sent me the book two or three times already in written form, and it just, you know, was problematic, and, you know, they didn't correct problems, and so now they, you know, it's time to sign off, but I have to make sure I sign off on the right sign off, you know what I mean? So I'm going to tell them tomorrow, look, just send me everything. They claim to have everything done, so send me everything in the mail, let me go through it all, and I'll sign off what came in the mail that day. And then I can refer it to, you know, the postmark and so on and so forth to make sure they got it right, because they've had so many different possibilities. Like my for instance, my the book cover. Okay, I created my book cover, and they created another book cover, and I told them I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't want that book cover. This is what I want. So they took that book cover, but then they changed the font, and they didn't add one other item in there. Then we went back and forth. Now we got it right, so we got the book cover good. But now to sign off on it, I got to make sure I'm signing off on the right one. So hopefully this week they'll get it out to me.
Okay. Has the letter for the sheriff's been written?
No, not yet. Matter of fact, I did make a note to the people involved and to Sheriff Darr. And I'll get a hold of him this week, maybe, and make sure we get that letter going.
Okay, yeah, because I guess there's a lot of us waiting for the
Yeah, believe me, I am too. I am too, you know.
Okay.
I'm going to be buying quite a few of them, so I'd like, with all the money I've collected, you know, I'd like to be able to do this before the collapse comes and the money is worthless, you know. That's a problem I'm concerned about. I've thought about taking the money that's in the bank and turning it to silver, but there will be a loss, you know, because we're very close to the job being done and going to print. I just got to get the sign-offs, but they got to make sure we got the right sign-offs. But once that's done, you know, then I want to write a check to them and buy the books and get it out of my hands and get that moving and get it done again before the economic collapse, which is heading our way.
Sure. Okay.
And,
good enough, then, John.
Just for everybody to know I've mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. Get nickels. Go to the bank and get nickels. It's got the original makeup for almost 200 years. What is 150, 60, 70? About 160 years the nickel has been around. It's got 75% copper, 5% nickel, and has a true value in relationship to silver and gold, although that's all screwed up. Once the reset goes in, gold and silver and everything will get its proper, you know, ratio to each other, and it'll have certain powers. Also, it's a U.S. coin. Save all your coins, as a matter of fact, because all your coins are U.S. coins. They have to give you face value according to, its value of gold and silver according to the time. And if you look at the way things happened over the past 60 years or so, 50 years, where a nickel, as inflation goes, nickel stays still within the ratio and the relationship of the inflation. So the nickel goes down or the nickel goes up according to inflation. And, of course, inflation is just getting worse, so its value goes down. But once inflation is moved out of the game, and then the nickel have its value. If you take a silver coin, okay, take a pre-65, 1965 silver coin, a dime, a quarter, half dollar, silver dollar, whatever it is, you take that, and it always had, as far as the government is concerned, its relationship and ratio is according to the market with inflation included. So, you know, that silver dollar, it decreases, 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 decreases. But you could take that out of the market at any time and sell it for its silver value. You know, I buy junk silver because it's got 90% silver. It's a 10% discount, but it still has full face value. Matter of fact, I'm buying 40% silver now because it's even cheaper, and I get a lot more coins. It's still has face value. They can't take that away. Nickel's the same way. It still has the original makeup. It's going to have face value. So in theory, and in fact, ultimately, because of the fact that it's a U.S. coin and must be given accordingly, you know, they have to buy silver or gold. It's back to ultimately silver and gold, and that's where it's going to head to. But in any event, you know, you go to the bank and you get a box of silver for $100, that's 5 ounces of gold. $20 a piece. 20 ounce of gold is $20. 1 to 20 is the ratio. 20 silver dollars equal an ounce of gold or a $20 piece. You know, $20 in nickels equals a silver dollar. That ratio, even though you can't cash it that way because you're getting the value of it within inside the inflation. Once inflation's gone, you get full value back. So save your coins. And that's why I believe that they claim that there's a coin shortage out there. Coin shortage telling you, hey, well, you can't, you know, get your coins back, use your debit card, blah, 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 blah. And because they're trying to pull the coins off the market, getting ready for the reset. Because it'll come back to its value. Just like the stamp, the 3 cent, 2 cent stamp, nothing has changed. You know, the law requires 2 cent stamp. You can't change that just because some board has a meeting. That has to be done by the legislators. Never has been. Still legislation, still on the books. 2 cents. That's the value of an ounce of letter to mail it. So, all right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Gerard, are you here? Let's take Amy. You got the mic, Amy. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Yep. How you doing, Amy?
Hi.
What state
are
you from?
Okay. How are you?
Good. What state?
New York.
New York. Okay. Good place.
So as a follow-up to some of the tax questions you addressed earlier, so my question is, if it's a fraudulent notice of lien as opposed to like a valid lien, does that mean the title's clear or not?
Well, the problem is evil is in control. It's all fiction. It's make-believe. They do what they want. Look at what you have to understand, and it took me a while to get this through my thick head and to come to terms with it, shall I say, mostly, is the fact that the Constitution is not adhered to in the courts. It's not there no more. It's gone. They've abrogated it. It's gone. Kicked it out into the dustpan. And the laws that they have, maybe we won't pay attention to them today. Okay, I got a judge for the third time doing the same thing, playing a game when the people defaulted. I got another group of people came in. They defaulted. Oh, well, they didn't mean it. Well, it doesn't matter what they mean or not mean. Their own rule says they can't come back in unless they can do two things. One thing, they have to prove the fact that there's a likelihood that they can win. Okay, they also have to prove the fact that that they have a good reason that they did not receive it. They have to prove they didn't receive it. And neither of those can really be proven because I have absolute proof that they received it, number one. And their case rots. They have no proof of claim, nothing.
Okay, so my concern is, so my lawyer said I need to call the IRS in New York State and have a representative attend the closing to collect their taxes.
love to do that, huh?
So if there's no, if I can't find...
Now, the
proof
closing on what? The property closing?
Yeah, I'm selling my co-op apartment in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
scheduled for closing June 16th. So if I can't, well, I check the UCC filing, I check the county clerk, I can't find anything when I do searches. So I'm wondering what it is that she's seeing, because I can't get a copy of whatever she has from the title search. So I'm wondering, like, do I need to call and invite the IRS in New York State to the closing if I can't find a record of it?
Personally, I wouldn't do it because it's unlawful. You can't tax a person's property, okay? Now, there is a sale going on here. I don't know enough. I've never thought about it from that perspective. I would need time to think about that and do a little research. But I would think, again, it would come back to the same thing. If there was tax to be paid, certainly you wouldn't pay it. I mean, goodness. Well, they're looking, the tax that they're looking, if the IRS is involved, they're looking for profit. They're looking for the value of the house. Maybe when you bought it was this much money. Now you're selling it for that much money. Maybe the value of the property appears to have gone up, which it really didn't, just that the dollar became weaker and more inflated, so you need more dollars to buy what you want. You're really losing. You're not winning. But they, of course, it's hard for people to see that, so they play the magic game and look, oh, you got all this profit. Look at all these dollars you got. So now they want to tax you on your profit. Okay, but that's your property. They can't do that. Okay, now do they do that? Yes. I don't want to advise you to do this, what I would do. I'm just telling you what I would do. I feel confident that I know enough to be able to defend myself. You have to ask yourself that question before you make a move like that, so I wouldn't want to see anything bad happen to you.
So I guess the next thing, Jim recommended was to send the that affidavit requesting the those two forms.
Well, look at proof of claim and fiduciary authority. Now, fiduciary authority, let me think about that. Well, they're not really sticking their nose in any way at this point that fiduciary authority is necessary, but proof of claim, I guess, could be something. And I guess, yeah, that would be a good idea to think about it, because they're claiming that you owe something in that and they want to be there to collect it. Well, what is it you want to collect? And give me your proof of claim. And that has to be, again, notarized. It has to be sworn to. It's an affidavit form. So that's what I would push. That would be one way to push it, make your argument.
So, yeah, Jim was saying if I send that letter, certify return receipt, or the affidavit requesting the forms, and then I don't get anything back.
Hold on. But they don't know anything. Your lawyer's telling you to notify them, right?
Yeah, my lawyer's telling me to call them and arrange for them to be at the closing.
Okay. I'd go find another lawyer, because I never heard anyone say anything like that, and I've been at a number of closings.
I never saw
the IRS there, and I never saw anything like that spoken. This must be something new they're teaching. How old is this lawyer?
She says she's been doing this for 30 years. Her name is Karen Sonn, S-O-N-N.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I never heard anything like this before. I don't know. Brent, by the way, is Brent around yet? Did he come in?
No, I haven't seen him.
Okay. Yeah, Brent may know more about this than I do. I mean, because I've never heard of this before, and I certainly wouldn't notify the IRS about anything I'm doing. That's just like opening a can of worms and inviting them in to steal your money. It's easy to take, you know. But that's my opinion. That's for me. You need to think it out. If I were you, I'd go find another lawyer.
So if Jim, said if I don't get a response to this affidavit to request the forms, then I should be able to proceed with the closing?
Why? Are you thinking of notifying the IRS that you're going to close by asking
them
for forms?
Who
are you going to ask for forms?
Jim had me draft up that affidavit to request those two forms.
But to who? To the IRS?
Yeah, I guess.
Yes, so you're signaling them, you're alerting them. Say, hey, come on over here, there's money to be taken. Come on, take a look, see what you can get from me. No, I wouldn't.
No, I mean the affidavit doesn't say anything about the apartment sale. It just asks for the forms.
Oh, you can get the forms by going onto the internet and put in, Form 56. Just write FORM 56. It'll pop right up.
Yeah, and I mean, I did that, but I thought the purpose was that they're supposed to execute these forms and notarize them and send them to you.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
So that's what he said. If they don't send them to you, then you...
But you opened up a can of worms. Jim shouldn't have told you that. I would not advise you to do that at all. Look, if you want them to take some of your money, you call them up and tell them to come to the closing so you can steal from me, then you go do that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good idea either.
No. But bear in mind, they're going to try to get it on the other end of things because they're going to try to get you to file that as some kind of a profit or something, and at the end of the year, I don't know if you fill out paperwork for them, and if you do, then you're a witness against yourself and you're reporting yourself again later. You see, they need someone to report you, and when they can't get someone to report you, you know, by giving the necessary tax papers, you work for someone, they give you the tax papers, hey, this is how much money you made, this is, you know, you get your W-2s, I think it's called, so you've been reported. Okay, and they've been taking the money anyway over a period of time. Or if you make a business deal with someone and they report you that to the tax for a tax write-off or whatever, you've been reported. But if no one reports you, the only alternative they have, and this doesn't necessarily connect with your case, but the only other alternative is to find out where your bank account is and get them to report you by just giving over what kind of money has gone through your account, and then they put you in a defensive mode, and so you have to defend it. I always turn around to become an offensive. I offend, make them become the defendants, so they have to defend their position. So you have to be able to do that. But that's how they do it. And then they'll take, like I said, mentioned earlier, if you had $150,000 went through your account over the course of the year, as far as they're concerned, you owe us $150,000. And that's just the hook to bring you in underneath their system so that they can terrorize you and try to take as much as they can from you and so on and so forth. You know, just a whole evil process. So. Yeah, I'd go get another lawyer. And go through the process and get someone else. I have never, ever, ever heard that.
So, this is like my second lawyer because I keep paying all these lawyers because
the other
lawyer falling through.
So the other
lawyer told me to call them and see if I could get the amount down. So I called them. I tried to see if they could get the amount down.
Oh, called who to get what amount down?
I called the IRS to see if there was any way they could reduce it if I paid it off by X date or something like that. And they reduced it.
They're looking for the sale. They want a cut of your profit, right?
Yeah, but I didn't tell them I was selling it. I just told them I was trying to reduce it if I paid it off by a certain date. They had me fill out some forms. They reduced it. They took some penalties off. I don't know. I did what I could do, what my lawyer asked me to do.
Does the IRS claim you owe money to them right now?
Like if I go on the site, there's just this one lump sum, just one number, and it
what's
doesn't
the,
say.
What's the number? Can you share that?
96,000.
What a
but
joke!
But it doesn't say how it got. Because I remember in 2013 when I had a CPA do my taxes, it was 13,000. So I don't know how it grew that large.
Because they love to give you high interest rate penalties and penalties and stuff. And look at what they do is they're charging you what's called usury. Usury is against the law, and they know it, and they hide it in penalties, but it doesn't matter. They just do it whatever they want. Oh, it doubles every couple of months, it seems. Yeah. My numbers went from the last time they came out after me, they wanted, I think it was $90 or $80. And I refused them paying because I knew what their game was. And so I wouldn't sign any of their papers or anything, you know. And I couldn't even give them a check or anything because just to get rid of them, so to speak. I wouldn't even do that because I know that's, once I put my signature on that, I made an agreement there. But that $80 has grown to $84,000. And that's in a course of about 3 years. $80, about $84,000.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. They're insane. These people are crazy.
So I just have to, I guess, ask my lawyer, like, if I can't get proof that this thing exists, I'm not calling them up and inviting them to the closing. So how can we proceed?
I'm sorry, say this again. Your lawyer, if you go to the closing, they're not going to be able to close?
I mean, I'm asking, I need to come to some understanding with my lawyer or fire her, it sounds like. So I need to say, if you can't give me proof and I can't find this by searching for the liens in the county and the New York City ACRA system, I can't find any record of a lien or a judgment.
That's right. This lawyer should understand that. If this lawyer is advising you to do that, then they should advise you on the other side of things, being that there's no proof of claim, there's no claim. And with no claim, you shouldn't have to notify anybody of anything.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and then so ask her if we can move forward with this closing or not, because I'm not going to call them if there's no evidence that this even exists.
This lawyer, look, again, it's a bar attorney, I'm sure. There's very few attorneys out there that aren't bar attorneys, but it's a bar attorney, I'm sure. And it sounds like they're gonna get you in trouble, if anything. I would go find another lawyer. I'd find another lawyer and just put look astray. I want to get this closing done. I want to get it done quick. Can you handle it? And I don't want to get lost in any kind of crap anyways. Just let's do it. And you know, look at before you even pay them a dime, they should give you, you know, 15 minutes or whatever to go in, and so you can kind of interview them and find out what's the requirements, and you don't want no surprises. You know, no surprise attachments to this case. This is what's going to be required, and is this correct? You know, you got to show that there's no liens on the property. You got to show, you know, ownership, of course, and, you know, so they do a little research on that. Once that they do the research on that, there should be nothing else required. Not that I could think of.
Do you know where I could find such a lawyer or have any referral?
No, not really. Again, just call another lawyer and see where it goes, you know.
Okay.
Let me think. You know, I don't, well... You know, I don't even know why you need a lawyer to close. I'm trying to think. I know I've sold some property many years back, and if I recall, I didn't even bring a lawyer. I don't remember. Of course, there was research on to prove the property has no liens on it, that kind of thing. You can get that, go down to the town and do that research. I mean, lawyers pay someone else a couple $100 to go down to do the research, so you could pay someone to go down and go do the research. And they just go down to the county real property office and look up through the, you know, the property and make sure there's no attachments on it. And then get certification of that fact. So that's all I can give you. I don't know enough any more than that.
Okay.
You
know,
you could try next week if Brent's around, and Brent may have more info to give you on that because he's a lawyer.
Okay.
But he's not a bar lawyer, you know.
Is that, that's not Brent Johnson, is it?
No, Brent Winters.
Oh, Brent Winters, okay.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right. Let's see, Gerard, are you back yet? Are you here? Or anybody seen Brent yet? Okay, next caller. Dan from Montana, I think it is. Dan?
Yes, how are you, John?
Good, how are you doing?
Yep, just getting back to your topic on the committees of Convention
Safety?
Of States.
Oh, Convention of States, okay.
Well, just background, I was on a show connecting the dots with GR
mm-hmm.
and...
Is that what GR, is that being called... same thing that GR is doing, which is the Republic Review?
No.
All right. Go ahead.
The Levin and some of those guys are real pushing this Convention of States, the CONCON Article 5 Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous.
That sounds scary, yes. Definitely. The last thing we need right now is something like that, because we have nothing but thieves and whores in Congress. All the legislators. There would be nothing. Total destruction of whatever we have left would be totally destroyed. I can see it.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. GR referenced the only reason for Article 5 is to fix something that is broken, or to grant more power to the federal government, or to take away power from the federal government. And currently, there's nothing wrong with our Constitution. It's just our elected officials are not following it.
Right.
So.
And there's some bad legislation out there that needs to be removed.
Yeah, lots. Yep. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on the show, we plugged...
And we do obviously support, and we're working with the GR for... You know, the Republic Review. So, but go ahead.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and we, GR's promoting NLA pretty strongly, and we talked about the book on the show, and talked about joining NLA. So, hopefully, there'll be good stuff. And I encourage people to go to Red Pill if they can.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, and you want to listen in, you can pay a smaller fee. And listen online or to recordings later. So, other ways to do it. Best to come. There'll be a lot of good people there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be... That is up in Montana, right?
South Dakota.
South Dakota. Okay.
Rapid City, South Dakota.
All right. Yep, it's a trip for people on the East Coast here, though, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's a long ways.
Yeah. All right, anything else, Dan?
Pretty there.
It's yeah, pretty nice I'd there. Love to go. You know, I thought about going, but I'm just not ready yet. So, got too many things going on.
Yep.
And I'm
looking forward to your book coming out. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, thanks, Dan. Okay, let's take our next caller from Jersey, Passaic, New Jersey. Maybe you can give us your first name from Passaic, New Jersey.
Hello?
Yep. Hello. Is that your first name?
Terry.
Terry. How you doing, Terry?
Good. I'm just eating something. But...
Can I have some?
It's all gone now. Okay. So, are you familiar with Gary Noel?
Yes.
Okay, because he has been talking a lot about the... vaccine and the dangers, and a lot of these people are.
I'd love to work with Terry Noel and Gary Noel, and you know, we thought about making contact with him, and sometime in the near future, once we get justice back into the courts, I'd love to work with him, because he would be the guy to be able to make the position concerning all of these crazy things going on in the medical field, so we can straighten it out. We need experts like him, and he is one of the top guys. But go ahead.
Right, yeah. So have you been reading or hearing about this abolition, well, not really abolished yet, of qualified immunity, but in certain jurisdictions it is, like they did it in New York City,
We lost you on that. Say that again. Terry? We lost Terry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. Okay, got you back.
I accidentally hit the mute button. But have you been reading or hearing about the qualified immunity abolition that is supposedly have been passed in, like, for example, New York City? And
immunity for who? For what?
Qualified immunity for cops. So I don't know whether that's going to be extended, you know.
Well, let me tell you something. And we're under natural law. We're a nation of natural law. Even though that they claim to have abolished, to abrogated the common law, they didn't have the power, the authority to do it. No one does. They're trying to destroy a covenant that we the people made with God through the Declaration of Independence. It's clearly a covenant. And there's no way that they can write legislation to give certain immunity to anybody. Look, at as long as the police officer or anybody working in any government, situation, an agency of some type or whatever, as long as they are acting within their jurisdiction and their authority, okay, then at that point they're safe because they've been given a certain jurisdiction and given certain authority. Now, bear in mind, police really don't, you know, it's really, police are not law officers, okay? Ultimately, they're code enforcement officers. That's what they are. And when they make arrest, ultimately, even though they got the paperwork to make it seem different and it's accepted, but it's really still a citizen's arrest. The only real law enforcement officer is the sheriff and his deputies. Now, you can't give someone immunity from something, from an evil act, so I don't know what they're talking about. Look at torture or excessive force. You can't take that and say, well, in some cases we could do this or it's okay. No, you just can't do that. And if you can get into a court of law, it'll never stand. Remember, statutes don't apply. There's no such thing as a statute of limitation to begin with. If you took a case where, for instance, immunity is given to these, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, any harm comes to you, blah, 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 you know, these vaccines, you know, they're supposed to be immune to it. Look, they can write all the civil law they want. If you can get a court of record open, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. They're liable because you can't do it. Statutes don't exist. Codes don't exist in a court of law. Okay, that's only in a court of equity. And a court of equity has to do, with political situations or anybody that works for an agency and certain commercial activities, whether it be on the federal level or maybe commercial activities on the state level, then they do work and are underneath regulations. And we've given them authority to write those regulations and statutes and codes for them. But not we the people. It has nothing to do with us.
Well, what happened was it reached the point of absurdity. And they had I was reading this article. It said the cops had a search warrant. And they stole something like 225 or 250,000 from this guy. And he sued to get it back. And they the cops claimed qualified immunity. And the judge agreed and said, well, you know, there's no supporting case law. It's just like
because they're evil.
Right.
They don't see, you know what, in a court of law, the thing that qualifies something for the case is an injury. For every injury, there must be a remedy. And if this man was injured, they stole 250. Well, how much did they take from him?
I think 225 or 250,000.
Okay, they stole 225 or whatever $1,000 from the man. That's an injury. You took it from. That's an injury. Okay, there is no law. You don't need no law. Again, yeah, they work on case law. There is no case law, so we don't know how to handle it. So we'll throw it out of the court. I don't know what they're thinking here, but again, you know, we're going to courts of injustice and not courts of justice. That's the problem.
Right.
And the only solution, there's only one solution. It's going to take time, and that's for the people to step up, get committees of safety, take control of the political process from the grassroots level, and put these people back under the chains of the Constitution. And until that happens, we're going to continue to have all this nonsense and,
right.
and unjust things, and that's that.
Most people don't realize that, you know.
No, they don't.
And, you know, I think this qualified immunity is going to be a wake-up call because it's starting to show cracks now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, it's going to be a shock to the people not only to find out what's really been going on, but to find out how liberty has been stolen from them. And, you know, most people aren't even able to comprehend what we're talking about here because they don't have anything to relate it to. I mean, I remember talking to this young kid one time. He was about 28, 29 or something. About 28. And, you know, all this stuff that is unlawful. And he just couldn't get past the fact that you need to have the traffic controlled. You have to be able to give a ticket. You got to stop people from speeding, and you got to this and that and the other thing. He doesn't understand. But you know what? Under common law, the consequences could be worse. You know, you injure somebody, you're liable. You're going to be liable. And it's not necessarily criminal, although it could be criminal, but still that doesn't necessarily call for a jail sentence. The key is restitution, restoring the injured party, you know. But, they turned justice system upside down on its head. It's so screwed up. It's got so many problems. Look, if we go back to common law, there's a major, major serious problem that's going to take place. And that is all the people that are in jail, they're going to find out, wait a second, you mean I didn't have true due process? I was not in a court of law? You got to let me go or try me again.
Right.
I mean, that is a major, that's how much damage has been done, and it's going to be a major problem.
Right.
Now, not to look at 80% of the people in jail don't belong there anyway, so let's free them automatically, you know?
Right. Well, they made the point that, you know, even though that Floyd guy in Minnesota, the cop in that case, his defense could have been that he had qualified immunity. And it probably, you know, if it wasn't so notorious, he probably would have gotten away with it, you know, if there wasn't a camera on him.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the cop that strangled that guy, or are you talking about...
Yeah, well, that's been one of the things that in some of these articles saying, well, yeah. Talk about qualified immunity.
You know, it's really sickening that they plaster this stuff all over the news, and they just destroy the court case potential for justice. They just... You know, they can't control themselves. I mean, you can report on certain things and certain evidence, but you know, then there's the other problem. People take the pictures and they post it up on the internet. Next thing you know, everybody's seen it, and then you're not gonna be able to find a jury to really that hasn't been tainted already with opinions and ideas and everything else. You know, it's a tough thing to deal with. The news needs to get themselves under control though, because they don't need to repeat this or even get into it. They can report the story generically speaking. And then after the case is over, then report the results. I mean, but for them, they can't help themselves. It's like an illness, I think. Society illness, you know. Did we lose you? Still there?
Hello? No.
Yep, okay.
No, I yield anyway.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1? Let's take Felicia, I believe is the last call we have, unless someone else wants to get in the queue. Felicia from Florida, you got the mic, go right ahead. And thanks, Terry. Felicia from Florida.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I got a couple of questions. The United States has been bankrupt since 1933, right?
So look at it. It's a fraud bankruptcy, but yeah, okay. It's been fraudulently bankrupt since probably 1932.
So I'm having a hard time kind of understanding why the government is dishing out so much money. They've never given us anything for free.
Let me tell you.
They're giving out the PPP loans now.
Yeah, because they don't care. They just print more money. They don't care. They're destroying the economy. It's all about destroying America. Trump has a plan or had a plan, and I still think the plan is in effect, but he has a plan, and his plan was, you know, we've been robbed all of our lives from these people. They've just taken everything from us. They've given us inflation. They've destroyed our money, our dollar. The relationship is like between silver and gold right now is like 80-1 when it should be 20-1. You know, you look the value of a dollar today. What you used to get for a dollar or a nickel way back when, I know when I was a kid, you know, what you got from a nickel, and it had inflation back then. Okay, when I was a kid, not anywhere near like this, of course not. But a nickel had huge value, man. A quarter, you know, huge value. Today, a nickel, a quarter, a dime, it's nothing. I mean, a candy bar, of course, $2.15 for a Musketeer. I mean, ridiculous, okay? I paid a nickel for that one when I was a kid. You know, that's how bad it is. Right there is like a 43-to-1 ratio difference. The dollar's literally worth 2 cents, okay? Literally, if that much, okay? Right now, when you look at the ratios and realize the inflation values, it's a dollar's worth about 2 cents, and so everything has been destroyed. You know, they destroyed the money system here. But
now, didn't Trump take over the Federal Reserve when he was in office?
Yes, that's a problem for them too. Yes, he brought it back. He brought the business back into the U.S. Treasury, and that plan is still in effect. And I know they're having a problem trying to reverse that, and I don't think they're going to be able to. I don't understand it enough, but I'm hearing that. Remember when Trump was spending money like a crazy man, he was bringing the money back to the people. And they can do all the bankruptcies, they can do all the dances they want, but we ain't giving them a dime back. They were thieves. They robbed us. They've been robbing us all of our lives, and now they want to rob us again. You know, and take our houses, our properties, whatever, gold and silver, whatever they can get their hands on. They want everything, okay? They're just thieves. The whole thing is a con job. So Trump was saying, well, okay, let's use all this money because we ain't paying them back. Let's rebuild the infrastructure. Let's get these things going, different projects going, and rebuild America, rebuild the military, and all the, you know. And I understood that. I know a lot of the economists and some of the good guys that kind of understand some things, but they don't really know the enemy's there. They don't really understand the enemy, and they're scratching their head. You know, how does Trump go about making these positions and coming in with this, and then go and spending all this money? They don't understand. He has no intentions of giving them the money. He has intentions of putting them in jail, really. I mean, that's the end reason. They owe us. We take everything they got left and take it back and give to the people, and they still can't afford to be able to pay us back what they owe us. And that's why when he was giving money out, it's owed to the people. The whole thing's going to collapse, and we ain't paying it back anyway. Now, of course, if Trump is out of the picture and Biden's in, it's a whole different story now. And I can see a revolution in the streets, if that is the case, at some point.
They're trying to make Washington the 51st state. Is that because
they want more power and more people, more Democrats? You know, they're not happy with anything, and I think that's a big move because they saw through the census they were losing seats. So from going from certain states to another state, and it was a Republican stronghold versus the Democrat stronghold, so it's taken away from the Democrat stronghold into the Republican stronghold, which gives more congressmen more votes and so on, and they're not happy with that. And, you know, they're the same thing on the legal side. Well, we can't get what we want, you know, with the judges that are in there. Let's stack the courts, throw another 6 judges or whatever it is that they want to do. You know, again, it's just destruction, mayhem. They don't care.
Now, you know, a lot of them are being charged with stuff that they keep saying, you know, they didn't have due process of law. How can they, when it comes to them, they can use the Constitution, but when it comes to us, you know, they just avoid it like the Constitution doesn't even exist.
Yeah, well, look, if the law works for them, they apply it. If it doesn't, then they don't apply it. And then they make something else that it isn't, you know. Look, they're just evil. That's all it is. And you know, they really don't understand, you know, someone on the level of Biden, even he is being used. He doesn't even know that, understand that. Look, at the end of the day, they're going to get rid of him too, you know, once they turn communist or Marxist, it's all probably pretty much the same thing anyway, any of these isms. You know, they do away with the useful idiots, you know.
Well, according to him, he's been a senator for 130 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But, okay. Yeah, it doesn't end. They just don't end, you know. Just destruction.
They got to go.
Yep, got to go. And look, at people need to do it. Let's not rely on Trump or anybody else. We need to do it because no one else can do it.
I heard that he's he was still president.
I believe he is.
And he's actually pushing all the buttons behind doors.
Yeah, he's absolutely. I do truly believe that that is the case, and we are in uncharted areas. Look at, there was subversion against the United States of America from so many different positions and different ways it's happening, and Trump knows it. Okay, the military knows it. How can they walk away from it? They tried to make the system work to use the courts. And I do believe that Trump knew the courts wasn't going to do it either, you know. And we know who really won that election, number one. Number two,
yes.
It's going to take the military to come in and do something and reinstate Trump by establishing who won, okay. And right now, don't forget, they're going through the different states to establish the fact that Trump won these states. So, you know, that's happening. That is actually climbing through the courts, too. Yeah?
No, that's good, because I voted for him.
Yeah. So, but there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, they claim that Biden's got, what, a 52 or 53 approval rating. I mean, come on, give me a break. You know, that is so ridiculous. I mean, he gives a speech and no one shows up. You know, some of these things, I remember when he was running, it was a bunch of empty cars sitting there. He was talking to a bunch of empty cars.
Yeah.
It was a parking lot. I guess they put the stage in front of a parking lot or a huge big car dealership. I don't know. It was ridiculous.
I heard that that the White House was actually closed and that there was one of the replicas, one in California and one in Atlanta.
I'm hearing that. We do know that they exist, so... And I'm hearing that, too, and I wouldn't doubt it. But there's a lot of misinformation out, too, so we got to be careful. We don't know what's going on yet. We really don't.
Right. As I was listening to when you and the lady was talking about the coronavirus, all I think that is the flu to the second power with nanotechnology in it to change people's DNA activated by 5G.
Yeah, we're hearing that too, and you know, again, I don't know how much to believe what, but we do know that that stuff exists. I've heard professionals, people who would know in the know, who talk about it. So yeah, I don't discard it at all. And these people are evil, so I don't put nothing past them. You know, as far as the virus is concerned, I don't believe it was catchy. What's a better word? I don't think it was contagious. I don't think it was as contagious as they hoped it would be. Okay, that's what I think. And so it never really went anywhere. Everything was fake news and falsification and just lies. I mean, look what happened in New York City with all those tents set up in Central Park, ready to receive all these people. They had the boat, the big ship down there. And claiming people are dying and they're filling up truckloads with bodies. And meanwhile, people go down and there's nothing going on. They're taking videos of the ER, nothing going on. Nobody in the tents, nobody in the ship. You know, where is it? And, you know, we're talking, when they're claiming it was at its, you know, major apex, you know. But, you know, balls loose, fake news. So...
Okay. That's all I wanted to ask.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Felicia. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to go to Ross from Ross from Oregon. You got the mic.
Well, hi. This is Ross from Oregon, from Clackamas County. I'm asking, do you think we can reestablish the... debt-free money?
The debt, say this again, did we reestablish what?
Reissue debt-free money.
Debt-free money. Yeah, by going back to what our founding fathers put into the Constitution and we agreed to and hasn't changed, is go back to real money called gold and silver. Very simple. Yes, we can be. And anybody that's preparing for the collapse, if you're not collecting gold, silver, copper, or nickel, you know, I mean, there's other things you can get, of course, that has value. But, you know, when I say nickel, I mean nickels. You know, and when I say copper, I mean pennies. Although, you know what, and I mentioned this earlier, too, in U.S. coins, it doesn't matter what the makeup is, it has its value. And if you follow it through inflation, it maintained the inflated value of its time and deflated or inflated and so on and so forth. So when things go back to normal, a U.S. coin has to have face value according to that dollar that exists, and the dollar will go back to silver dollars because that's what the Constitution says. And people will say, well, I couldn't carry that all around, you know, carrying around silver and gold. Well, that's an insane point, because I'll tell you why. If you got a $20 gold piece that's one coin, that's a heck of a lot of money in a real economy. I mean, it's a lot of money. It'll purchase a lot. I mean, what was it when the cars were being first introduced in the early 1900s? I mean, they were selling cars for what, $800? I mean, an ounce of gold, okay, would have been bought in two cars back in those days. So think about that. Okay, the value of, and today it's like you buy a car, it's like buying a house. You need a crate load of money, you know. And gold and silver has never reached its proper ratio, even to inflation. So
yeah, I heard China is buying a lot of our silver for chips, computer chips.
Yep, that's what I'm doing, buying silver too. I mean, junk silver is the best deal, 40% or 90%. Right now, I wouldn't even buy 90% anymore. I'd buy 40%. You get more than two times the amount of face value. That'll be just as good when it goes back into the real market with value of a dollar. And so, yeah, look, we got to go back. The only proper thing to bring this nation back is to bring it back under the Constitution, and under the Constitution requires only gold or silver.
See, because I did read Article 1, Section...
What are you looking for, gold and silver, Section 8?
Yeah,
Article 1, Section 8.
And also... Section 9 also mentions it too.
Yeah, on the gold and silver?
Yeah, the debt. They pay the debt with gold and silver.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I believe it does in 9, and it also, let's see.
10?
Also talks about no captation or other direct tax, and that's your income tax. It cannot be. It's against the Constitution, against the law. But again, they pay no mind to the Constitution. Remember that. It's just a damn piece of paper that gets in our way. That's their attitude. You know, when Hillary was running for president, and Barack Obama made a statement. I think it was around that time, and he said, "The end of the Republic never looked so good." Just think of President of the United States saying something like that.
Yeah, I'm listening to the, watching a video called "The Federal Reserve, No Federal Reserve, Not a Reserve at All."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we cover a lot on the Federal Reserve in our civics course. It's about a 120-hour course, mostly a lot of video and audio. So we cover a lot of that.
Yes, and the guy who hosts that said that the people behind it is the money changers.
Money changers, yeah. There was a two-part video called The Money Changers. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very good video. Matter of fact, again, I think that particular video, I think we used in our civics course.
Yeah. Mm. And he's correct that the history, like when Jesus Christ was in the temple, he tossed all the money changer tables over.
Right. The problem was already there. The problem was already there, you know.
Yes, that was also a problem way before that, even in when Julius Caesar was they're tightening the usury laws against the bankers, and the bankers didn't like it. And he got cut on the Senate steps of Rome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was after Christ, though, a couple hundred years,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah. And the Rome families, they fleed the blade, and they ended up in a place we call Rome today.
Yeah.
I believe it was 200 families, or approximately 100 to 200. I don't know if anybody knows the actual number. So.
See, that's...
I guess they could have known. I don't know how many senators were there, and each senator represented families, I believe, or something. But go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah. I think we, the people, need to start standing up and tell our elected officials when we get control back over the court system to be able to get control back over the committee men, elected committee men.
I guarantee you, if and when, and I do believe at some point we will, get control of the courts back into the hands of the people, we will be able to solve every problem in America, you know, these kind of problems we're talking about, of course. We can get rid of all this unconstitutional legislation. There's so much we can do, bring back power and authority to the people. We need to teach our children in school what their duty is and what it means to be an American ultimately, and you know what a republic is, and the fact that we're a natural law republic, and that brings us right back to the Bible. And without the Bible, there is no natural law, because that's where it stems from, right there. You know, right back to the first five books of the Bible is where it really gets involved into it, and the first republic was created out of that, 1600 BC.
Yeah, I think that the seculars don't want us to go back to the Bible.
Of course not, no. They do everything they can to destroy God in this nation, and morality and family and patriotism. They don't want any of that stuff, because that's all anti-communism and Marxism. When you lack those things, you are prime, and the only thing left for you is a democracy, which is an oligarchy bringing you into the isms. You know, that's just the way it is. And one of our founding fathers said, I never heard of a republic that at the end didn't just murder itself. But go ahead.
Yeah. I think that I think the money changers are behind the American Bar Association as well. Is they the ones?
Remember, the Bar Association works for the banksters. Yeah, so they're behind it. They are the esquires. They're out there in order to destroy and plunder. They've received their letters of marque, and they're out there to destroy and plunder. That order went out from an agreement. It actually went out before the agreement in 1918, where the Pope and the King got together, and they conspired and sent out letters of marque to destroy the American way of life, and that has not stopped. And eventually they developed the ABA here, so, hey, it's American, it's not Britain. No, it's the same thing. They teach the same civil law, the same that's over in Britain, they're teaching it here. It's the same civil law, same control, same destruction, same ignorance of the Constitution and ignoring natural law. We got to destroy it, get rid of it, because we need to bring in our new world order and so on. So nothing has changed.
Yes, I think, I don't know if entirely we could restore, I think we could restore it, except the problem, we know the prophecy, the end of days is coming very quickly.
Yeah, I do hold to that, and exactly when, you know, we don't know, but yeah, I hold to that myself. It's, you know, but remember, every generation for quite some time has been saying that. But there are certain things that have happened that I've seen, and it's made clear to me that I think, you know, my opinion again, that we're there. Yeah, we're very close.
Yeah,
But it's not gonna go. I don't perceive it's gonna go as a lot of these people have been teaching, you know, over the years on the Book of Revelations and what it means and how to interpret it. And you know, it's been a lot of private interpretation, and so I don't see it the way a lot most people do see that. I see it from a very, very different perspective. I see it as spiritual. I see the whole spiritual picture is what I looked at, and I see.
Because if you were talking about God, he looks at the bigger picture, the larger picture than we do see it.
Mm-hmm.
And my stepfather says, oh, we never could get rid of the Federal Reserve.
He thought we could never get rid of it?
Yes.
Well, the way things were going, it didn't look too good until Trump came into the scene. For the first time, I had hope that it would go, and I still have that hope. And a couple of key things, you know, I would talk about Q to make some points and positions and the likelihood of things going a certain way. But some people, you know, they don't know Q or they don't believe in Q or they're a little disappointed and so on and so forth because of the way things have gone so far. And remember, we're at war. You know, there's plan A, there's plan B, and there's plan C, and I'm sure there's plan D and E and so on. I mean, anybody planning you don't know what as things change out there in the battlefields, you know, you have to change your strategies and to a different plan. But, you know, one thing I think we can really rely on and rest upon is the idea or the fact that Trump has said, and he said it again, and I know Lynn has said it recently, his family has said it, and they've repeated it over and over again, and they repeated it when he left office back on January 6th, and that was, the best is yet to come. Okay?
Yeah,
so that means something.
Yeah, the founding fathers also said, they rather have the money in the hands of the people rather than the bank store.
Absolutely. It should be in the hands of the people, yeah. With that, I got to move on because it's
okay,
1 minute, 1 minute to midnight, and I want to bring in at least one more caller here that have been waiting for a while. I don't know how to pronounce that name. Havania? Maybe they can tell us. You got the mic? All right, something wrong with your mic. We couldn't get you. Let me see it again.
I'm better now. I did grow a lot, so.
Okay, we're getting a repeat. I don't know what it is, but we can't understand you. You get all this noise. I see, is that Linda? Let me take Linda. Maybe try again. Well, let me try one more time to see if that noise is gone from your mic. Okay, good. Try your question or your comment. All right, we're going to have to take our last caller. I'm sorry, I couldn't get through that call. I had too many interference. But Linda, is that Linda here? L-Y-N-D-A?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Well, let me tell you something. This seems to be a new system, and I had called in to listen to the program. I didn't realize I was in the queue, to tell you the truth.
Oh, okay. You must have hit star 6 accidentally, and you're in the
queue. But I will say something that's on my mind.
Here it is.
Lately. I can always tell you what's on my mind, the latest thing on my mind.
That's what we do here.
Well, here's the thing. This just grates on me, and I just keep thinking about it. And that is, I mean, this might be somewhat out of the blue, but the law is supposed to be understandable by everyone. You know, even the illiterate, the uneducated.
The law is written into the hearts of men. Everybody knows it.
Right. It's like an intuitive thing, you know.
We don't need statutes. We don't need codes. We know when someone's been injured, and that's the key to a criminal case, or even a civil case. The key is where's the injured body? And if you got an injured body, give us the sworn affidavit on it, and now we can deal with it. Until then, there is no case.
So they've taken this law and they've complicated it so much.
With
you know,
the law
they're trying to apply corporate law to the people. That's what they're doing.
Well, no, not really. It's the city law. It's the law of the city that they're applying. The law of Rome, you can call it. You can call it, Justinian law. We call it civil law, Babylonian law. It's all the same thing. It's law of the city. And it's
but
municipality
it tracks,
law.
It tracks after what they do with corporations. And
I think you got a point there because they do try to make us into corporations to try to get us, you know.
And the corporations try to make themselves into people. You know, they've got that law where corporations can now be people, a person.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's been around. Look at that. Those statutes have been around for quite some time now. They go back way when. You know?
Well, my point is, it's just all wrong. It's all wrong. It should be like church and state. It should be separate, totally separate, you know. And the fact that it's not is where everything, you know, everything goes from there, that it's just all messed up, you know.
Well, remember, you got to keep the state out of the church, but not necessarily, you know, the church out of the state in the sense, I'm not talking about religion or anything, but I'm talking about the people, okay? And the people come in with godly views, because remember, we're a godly nation. We have a covenant with God under the Declaration of Independence, where we placed ourselves under his law and receive his blessing. And we're supposed to be focused in and on being morally minded and have a just courts. Which we've lost all that's been robbed from us ultimately, you know, the bar attorneys going way back to the very beginning. I mean, they were already destroying in the colonies. They were destroying our system of government back then. But in any event, law, you know, again, is really natural law. And we have a covenant with God, and we receive the blessings of liberty. But we've been outside of that for quite some time, and we've been assaulted by the enemy, and I think it's time for the wrath of God. That's my opinion.
That's the problem, though, and we keep chasing after their construct, you know, and that's a problem. And I just feel like we're wrong. We're on the wrong track. You know, we should just take a stand and refuse to participate because there's nothing for the people.
The problem with that is you need enough people doing that. And again, that's our goal. That's what we're trying to do is get enough people in every county across America. We've got 3,134 counties. We need to develop committees of safety in every single one of them. You know, get 40, 50, 100, 200, 500 people in each county involved. And now you're going to make a difference, okay? You get 20, 30 people in every county involved and starting to take control of their local government, you're going to make a difference. But it requires a total new mindset. You know, remember, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates, okay? You get yourself, you just take maybe, what is it, a quarter of 1% or whatever it is that turns up. You think there's 250 million people in America, I think. But whatever that ratio is, if you can get 1 million people across America involved, or even 500,000 people across America involved, that's the majority that's participating. We would overwhelm the Republican and Democratic parties, the core of them. We would overwhelm them with that kind of a number. Because that core number is not that big. Yeah, there are lots of Republicans. Yeah, there are lots of Democrats. But most of them, particularly on the Republican side, but most of them, they're disappointed and disenfranchised. They're not happy. But the people who are happy are the ones running the parties and have all the control and the leverage and getting all the good deals and making all those the money off of you know, getting contracts and different things, that's a minority. It's the majority right now. They're controlling by the majority. We get about 500,000 people doing the right thing. We easily become the majority. They become the minority. We can take the controls back. But, again, people got to step up. We got to do it. Get a committee of
citizens. Well, I think that it's, I've said it before, when I first, you know my backstory, you know, they came after me.
Right.
And I started looking around. I didn't hear any of this from anybody. And now, you fast forward, I'm impressed. I talk to the young people, and they do know about it. They are, in fact, they know quite a bit about it, you know, and they're repeating this stuff. Like, I relentlessly post, we outnumber them, you mm-hmm. know. I post that all the time. And, you know, and then I tell them, you know, we do have power if we can, you know, if the people get a consensus. That's really the only thing they're afraid of, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
So
we have to organize. We have to organize like they organize to reestablish and reinstate the power and the authority of the people, and we have to maintain that constant watch and that constant participation
exactly.
in our government. And
you're
if we
never,
don't do that,
I've
we're going to lose
that.
It.
I've learned that as an activist all my life.
The problem is everybody goes to the political parties to get that, and they're all frauds.
You're never done. You have to stay vigilant, you know.
That's right.
Vigilant. You have to. Even when if you were to get all of this in place, even then you would have to keep, you know, keep watching. But anyway, I want to bring something else up real quick. See what you think about it. I have a page called Laundering, and I posted on it about the companies and their offshore investments, you know, how they're avoiding taxes and all that. So, and there's a movie out, Meryl Streep made it. It's an excellent movie.
You're talking leveraging with offshore participation and investment, usually in crops.
They just avoid taxes that way.
Yeah, you know, many, many years ago, I put some money into a deal. You know, they go offshore. A lot of people go offshore, and they do a lot of leveraging of money with the banks, and then they leverage it again and again and again, and it's just a tremendous amount of money.
Exactly, they're shell companies.
Right, and I was shared about this information a while back, so I threw some money into this thing, and a bunch of other people. One guy said all the people with the big money, they're making the money, and the little people, you can't get into the game because you have to have a minimum amount, and there's some kind of strict rules and all this stuff. So what he did is he collected a whole bunch of people, got together, and we threw money in, and we had enough money to be able to get out there and make the purchase. But then this government got involved, seized the whole thing, stole all money, and never heard anything back from it again. They didn't want the little people in the game.
Huh. Is there anything out? Is there anything published on that? Anything out there?
No, not that I know of. I'm talking going 35 years ago or so, a long time ago, before I even became educated in these things, you know. So
anything like that, I'd like to have. I'd like to post it. But anyway,
by the way, the whole thing is fraud, and anybody participating is participating in fraud because really, it's really stealing money. You're leveraging things that don't exist.
Yeah, when you're using shell companies and all that. But that movie, it's called Laundry, I think, or something. It's with Meryl Streep. And there's other ones out there, but it describes the whole, you know, scenario or whatever.
Yeah.
But, okay, so what I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. It's called Laundry with Meryl
it's
Streep?
It's not laundering. It's like laundry, I think.
Okay.
But it's got Meryl Streep in it, so you could just Google that. No, but anyway, and there's several others. I've posted them on my page. But so Biden just passed a thing where he's going after the rich, supposedly. And one of the things he mentioned was these offshore, you know, investments.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of...
He should do something about the people who are committing a quid pro quo, huh? But go ahead.
Well, I'm torn about, wow, is this something good that he's doing as opposed to everything else he's doing? Or
nothing he's doing could possibly end up as being good. So, you know, and sometimes,
that's what I would think.
Sometimes it's just talk, you know, to get people, yeah, we got to do that. People wonder, and they have no intentions of really doing it sometimes, you know. So who knows what he's doing with that. Yeah, I don't know.
My goal is exposure. That I've learned that too. That's the only thing that works is exposure. Embarrass and expose them, mm-hmm. you know. And so if you can expose these frauds, then they have nowhere to go, and the money has to come back to the people. You know, that's the concept. Mm-hmm. And if we can put a stop to all that, then the people's quality of life would be so much better.
Well, it
know?
Seems like the entire banking system and most of the things going on with investing is all unlawful stuff. I mean, it's just, and again, a lot of leveraging.
Yeah.
And every time you leverage, you know, you're taking something that's 100%, but only putting in 10% and getting the leverage of the 100%, and then move it into another place and you leverage it again. I mean, you're working with a percentage of 1%, and where's all the rest of the money coming from, you know?
And I have a huge problem with people who are making money basically and not doing anything to earn it, you know? I mean, you know, I'm all for productivity, people working and earning a living and making their way and all that. That's all fine. But this whole business about gaming the system and, you know, yeah, I know it gets the stock market and all that stuff. I have a friend who is like into that stuff, and he'll say, well, that's your, what do you call it, capital,
mm-hmm.
you know, economy or whatever. But so, yeah, I think that's the goal, is to try to put a stop, expose all of this, and therefore put a stop to it. And then the money will flow back to the people, you know. So,
well, yeah, again, you
but
know,
justice
in the courts will clean everything up. I mean, some of the biggest frauds is the mortgage frauds. I mean, non-judicial foreclosures. You know, the whole thing is just a way for really money to be made from the banks, and the banks return it back into the Fed through taxes, and it's just a money game. And the people lose all the time. Yeah. But with we got to get going because it's way past our time. You've got a final statement. Go right ahead.
That's fine. For someone that didn't even have a question to begin with, I don't want to keep you.
Yeah, time for bed here. Yeah.
I don't have anything else to say. Just check out that movie. It's a little different, but...
Yeah, how old is that movie? She hasn't been around for quite some time now, huh?
It's going back a few years, but it's still, I'm sure it's still in place, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's some other ones, too, that are, it's like not a movie, but maybe a documentary on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But FinCEN's was not exactly that, but it was kind of, you know, along those lines, but... Mm-hmm. Panama Papers. The Panama Papers is what laundry is based after. Are you familiar with the Panama Papers?
No, not.
Yeah.
So that's a documentary on that, Panama Papers?
Well, the Panama Papers was a big case, and it was all about this whole thing with laundering, and they were basically scamming people. They were scamming people, but and then laundering the money in these shell companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay.
Okay, appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. We'll be here, same time, same place. Have a good night.